Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
I'm Jack.
Hi.
Hello.
We're sitting on a paused picture.
We are sitting on a paused picture.
Yeah, because on it. Craig, tell us what we're watching.
Tonight, my friends, we are watching The Conjuring 2. So is that an appropriate voice? Probably not, is it?
Why is that not appropriate?
The Conjuring 2.
What's that?
Oh, The Conjuring 2, mate.
Oh, how about...
We're sitting on the wall.
It's The Conjuring 2, motherfucker!
What about, hello, I'm Father Anthony. That's what I meant.
We're on the... I mean, I suppose we should pretend people are watching along with us. So, it's on the Warner Brothers Pictures on the DVD, which is a straightforward DVD.
Lovely.
Subtitles
are on.
Talking
about
Moody.
Oh.
Might slip my hand on your thigh at some point now that the light's been dimmed.
Oh, I should have put the candles on.
Oh,
this
nice.
Is for Halloween.
Halloween,
yeah.
Yes.
All
I'm going to do this commentary with a whistle all the way through, I think. Shall I do that? Would that be nice?
Why?
You like that?
Why would you do that? What's that going to be?
Excellent.
I tend to do that with my feet sometimes.
Yes. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
To make sure that I'm getting enough air going through them.
Right, that's good.
Anyway.
Right, anyway, good. So, okay.
So, The Conjuring 2,
mm-hmm.
we are watching because we went to see it at the pictures.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, we
us.
Did, yeah.
Having seen Conjuring 1, which is otherwise known as The Conjuring.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Conjuring. And the first one is sort of Amityville, is it?
No, that's Amityville here.
No, but I mean, it's got the big house.
Yeah, it's a haunting. It's based on apparently a real haunting. We'll talk about this quite a lot.
We'll talk about the Warrens. Yes. So it's based on
the
case
first
files
pretty
of the
good.
Warrens. Yeah, the first one is good. It goes a bit mental at the end.
Yeah, and then what they did was
an appropriate one.
They took the sort of last 15 minutes, which is the bit that was the least effective, and said, let's make number two just that.
So, so is the first one more kind of straight-laced then? Because I'd say this one's slightly arch.
The first one's much more...
I said Allen Ginsberg in this scene.
The first one, I think, from memory, is much more like a straightforward horror. Which is some really effective scenes in it, especially with the clapping.
The clapping like Jack does.
Because it's quite effective.
Yeah, it does that. Yeah, for the most part, I think it's
quite
effective.
But then at the end,
goes
mad with the sort of jump scares and things. Yeah.
Right,
and scary shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I suppose somebody in the studio watched it and thought, well, there's not enough modern... But it's very well made and all that sort of thing. So then we went along, we watched this, and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And there is so much to pick up on, because... It is sort of, and I can't emphasise enough, about the Enfield poltergeist. So we'll get to all of that. But we pick up with
Vera Farmiga.
Vera
Turlington face.
and Patrick Bobby Wilson.
Yeah.
And they're in the first one.
Why'd you call
they?
Him Bobby Wilson, Christopher?
Because of his extraordinary outstanding appearance in Watchmen with his prodigious
okay.
So the these films are meant to be from the case files of the Warrens, this couple,
right,
who were sort of paranormal investigators or whatever.
Demonologist is what they claim to be. Yeah, there's a lot to be said about them. The one thing I think we should first of all talk about, though, is looking at Vera Farmiga, very attractive lady. Patrick Wilson, very attractive fellow. Having seen photographs of the Wilsons, Chris, are they close likeness?
No, they look like extras in Bottle Boys.
there's a kind of crumpled bookie look about them, isn't there?
He looks like an extra in Bottle Boys, and she looks like an old Clippy they take the piss out of on the buses.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
It's all very pointy eyebrows and glasses.
Sorry, are you phoning someone, Jack?
No, you're all good. I'm just making sure I've turned my thing on to...
Oh, thanks.
This film begins with this little bit showing the extremely important role they played in the entirely real and wholly credible Amityville haunting.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And so what did they have much of an involvement in that? Because I'm pretty sure they didn't have much of an involvement in the Enfield
case. They actually were involved in the Amityville case.
Uh-huh.
But...
Substantially or not?
So, in a lot of... like they seem to be in a lot of these cases... it's some late stage.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get the feeling that these cases blow up and then people get involved and then they get involved when they want to get...
When the cameras turn up.
Basically.
Turn up, yeah. I think Ed was on his way to a Wendy's or a Taco Bell and they stopped for a couple of hours one afternoon.
So this is them sort of... Because she's a medium.
Uh-huh.
Looks like
he's a large.
Loving it.
She's a medium, at least that's what it says on her pants. And she sort of gets personal effect and she gets involved in all of these things.
Uh-huh.
But they're always, as you can see, they're always very well sort of made and keepy ways.
Mm-hmm. Made by wee James Wan.
Yeah.
Who made the most batshit film of recent years. Aquaman.
Yeah. Which, of course, Bobby Wilson's in.
Is he?
He is, yeah.
Mm. Aged down.
Yeah.
Aged down?
Yeah.
Yeah, they sort of de-age him digitally.
And stick him underwater and cover up his Bobby.
That's some film.
Is mental.
I quite like this conceit of how she sort of seems to enter the world while she's still in the second.
Well, this is her in her.
It's nicely
trance,
done, isn't it? Yeah.
It's all done. Very well. Mm-hmm. And James Wan knows how to direct a film. It's become
he does.
The
Insidious
over the
films are pretty good, actually. And he made the first Jigsaw film, which is good.
Yeah. And I find the. I think there's been three Annabelle films now in. I think the first one was quite notoriously slapped together off the back of the first Conjuring. But we saw the third one, or I at least.
Yeah,
saw
it in the cinema.
We found Alan
and I saw
it. And yeah, it was really good. It was like a really good proper horror film.
And they're all part of the Conjuring universe, we should say, in case anyone doesn't know this.
Conjuring expanded universe.
Which also involves The Nun, which we'll come to in a minute.
Yeah. What is being conjured in The Conjuring?
Evil.
Ghosts.
Evil. Okay. Like the fruits
that
of
just,
the devil.
I think it's a strange name for a film.
You are the fruits of the devil.
Because it makes me think
so
of magic.
Jack thinks it's so that's us done.
Yeah.
No, we can watch it. We should just refer to it by another name.
We should point out there is something very much missing here tonight.
The fudding.
Which is... No, that's not happening.
the fudding.
The Lady Rose, we'd hoped would be here. As we hoped she would be at the cinema when it came out, but she wasn't there.
No, she wasn't.
And we wanted her there because your wife, the Lady Rose, is something of an expert on
the
Enfield haunting.
She knows quite a lot about the Enfield haunting. Yes.
Why does she know about that particularly?
Because she wrote a script for a theatre thing, which was loosely based... but actually not that loosely based on the Enfield Poltergeist. And one of the characters in said performance was played by, ready for this, the first and, dare I say, best, Captain Zepp.
Who was that?
What's his name? Paul.
Paul Greenwood?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He was also Rosie.
Was he?
Oh,
yeah.
He was
a lovely man.
He was, what's his name, the neighbour who had the affair with Adrian Mole's mum.
Right.
Which is very timeless because we want to mark the death of
Your man
Stephen Moore. Yeah.
So there we go.
Right, so we get a wee bit of let me read this for you. Ed and Lorraine Warren's
investigation. In the courier typeface.
Into the eligible haunting sparked a media firestorm and catapulted them into the public eye. See, now there's a telling line at the bottom based on
the true
story.
Yes.
Now what's interesting about that
Conjuring
is it doesn't say
the fudding too.
Based on facts.
Yeah.
It just says it's based on this story, which is some bollocks somebody came up with.
London calling. Cliche montage. Here is a bus. Here's a man on a bearskin.
The only thing missing from this montage, because it's a wee bit too late, is the guy in the top hat and military jacket.
That's it. And the pyramid of champagne glasses.
Yeah. Or like a typhoon with wind blowing.
Yes,
so this is London, 1977.
So there's a weird weird thing that I think runs throughout the rest of this film, isn't it? Which is some of the period details are absolutely spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we'll get into
some of it is entirely
and then
off
it is
the fucking charts.
Massively wrong.
Now, I've written some notes as I always do.
Have you?
And I think some of that might have to do with the fact that of the 50 days of principal production filming, 40 of them were filmed in
America,
Los Angeles.
There you go.
That would explain it. Can we get a Bendix gas stove? No, we'll just get one of these then. Anyway,
what's a beard television?
When we're talking about the Amityville thing. I point out that completely randomly, I'd seen the first film, and then on YouTube there's a documentary about the real Amityville Horror, which is to sort of talk to people who were involved.
Uh-huh.
It's a great documentary. It points out things like, you know, oh, the house is very forbidden because the windows, it makes it look like a face.
Oh, right,
the people
yes.
Across the
yeah.
room pointed out the windows get put in later.
Right, good, yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And at the end of the documentary, or towards the end of the documentary, the Warrens turn up in it.
Right.
Uh-huh. And now, this documentary was made in the late 90s. Uh-huh. And at the end of it, she gets all smiley and says, this is the whatever case we've been involved in, and Warner Brothers have paid $5 million for our life's work.
Wow.
And this is,
well, this is what it is.
Film,
yeah.
Right?
So, you know, the film...
20 years later, I've come out of it.
The Amityville horror films.
Yeah.
Are the
yeah.
Warrens... as character, they
no.
feature that, because I don't recall hearing about them in
no.
relation to
no.
that at all.
No, I never heard about them until The Conjuring came.
It feels like they've retrospectively inserted themselves into
yeah,
these stories.
So, yeah.
But from that documentary demonstrates was a while they were involved in some respect.
Yeah,
they
worked
I think
up.
Their involvement in the Enfield one.
Uh-huh.
They were
yes,
like
tangentially involved,
very very late in a
yes.
very small way, which
yes.
spun out and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
However, here we go with the uh-huh. period detail. So the street's amazing.
Yeah,
the cars are amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah,
the house. Is uh-huh. probably is meant to be a council house,
yeah.
But it looks like a council house that nobody's done anything to since the war.
And big yeah. rooms as well.
The rooms are far too
yes.
big.
Yeah, uh-huh. And open plan.
They've
yeah.
got fucking phones everywhere.
Yeah.
Whereas at the time you'd have got one phone. Do you want in the hall or the living room or the
I
kitchen?
I think yeah. we were the only. And I grew up in a stair, as we called it in Edinburgh. Six of us, close in Glasgow, and I think we were the only people in
oh,
that stair who had a stair.
And so, a phone.
Sorry, you had a phone, hi. Yeah.
So I
remember
the,
I would have a stair. With one each.
But you would have got a phone. They'd have come, if you'd have been allowed one,
uh-huh.
the GPO guy would have turned up after about 3 months and said, do you want it in the hall or the living room
yeah.
or, the,
yeah.
or the kitchen?
Hence the
yeah.
famous song.
One or the other. Yeah.
Hey, baby, I'm your telephone man. You can have it in the kitchen, you can have it in the hall.
Right.
Here we are again. So this is where it starts to get weird, because... the rooms, the bedrooms, the sheets, the posters on the wall are utterly correct
yeah.
for the pictures that went, you know, the contemporary material. But then, why is the rest of the house is like there's no wallpaper?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
It's so, I mean, it would not be that run down.
No.
Because
it's a post-war council house anyway, so
yeah,
I'm about 30 years old by then.
Because you could understand it being that run down if they were skint and they were either letting from a private landlord or that was
yeah.
wasted no money.
Yeah.
But a council house would not have been that tatty.
No.
And they're all, are they American stars on the wall? They are by
no,
now,
but these are
they?
All, no, no, because
I know they're contemporaneous.
There's Purdy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right,
there's
yeah.
David Soul, there's Purdy. You know.
And that's a David Soul.
Yeah.
So, that, I mean, but in the pictures of the Enfield Horton, these are, they're all the right.
Yes, that's right, yeah, you're
in the
right
position, the furniture's right, their 90s and the sheets and everything are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But it really starts to kick off.
Yeah, well.
When
well,
you get to see the stuff in the living room and the kitchen. Because downstairs... is like a portal to.
It's extraordinary.
So they haven't. World. They haven't. they haven't unknownly got this wrong, though, have they? I mean, they've obviously made decisions.
No, I think they've written a script, and the script has required scenes to happen.
Yeah, with big
rooms
and stuff.
The drama,
yeah.
which bears no relation to really what happened.
Yeah,
I think also perhaps what's happened is that the consultants or maybe the Warrens or whatever
uh-huh.
have insisted that the rooms where the haunting stuff happened. Like the way you see with the bedrooms, are absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the production managers have just been left to go on with it for the
yeah.
rest
of the time. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. So they probably had photo reference for those rooms.
And then they've just thought, well, that's what a kitchen would look like.
In case anyone listening doesn't know about it, Jack, I think it behooves you, although I suspect of the three of us, I'm the only one that can remember the photographs in the paper at the time when it happened. It was 77.
Yeah.
I thought it was slightly later than that. But no.
77, 78.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Can you run us through the Enfield Poltergeist?
Well, there we go. So it centres around Janet, doesn't it?
This is where did it happen?
Yeah.
Sorry?
This is where did it happen?
Yeah, where did it happen? Yeah. That's right. So, yeah. So there's a there's a correlation with
is it right here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called the Poltergeist case because when he turns up, he goes, "Only me."
The clap and cleaver.
That's right. Yeah, so it all focuses around Janet, doesn't it? Who is so she is a teenager going through puberty, quite unhappy at school, and then basically, to cut a long story short, decides that she's just going to make up that there's a poltergeist.
See, that's that's really nice.
Uh-huh.
That's really good visual storytelling. Yeah. So she's in under the sheets in her bed, and then she wakes up and pulls away, and she's in the living room. Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone ever claimed that happened at the time.
No.
This is immediately it's now parted way.
Well, no, so there was
Did she claim to teleport at any point?
That objects teleported. So, for example, there was a point where a book from their house ended up in the next door neighbour's house.
Right.
And the only conclusion they could come to is that it must have teleported.
Yeah, the incredible thing about that instance was that it was a guidebook, like a travel book to Spain.
Right.
And then the people next door disappeared for a fortnight.
Chris, I think my copy.
It was utterly incredible.
I'm pretty sure my copy of Trading Places teleported here 5 years ago.
There's no reason.
But the thing about the Info Poltergeist case is I think the reason why it's so famous is because it's supposedly the best documented poltergeist case ever.
Here we go.
Right, so this is where we start to part with reality. Mm-hmm. Right, so you get a council house, fair dues, back garden's a bit scrubby. Yep. Still nicer than mine.
Yeah.
Downstairs to the basement?
Yeah. Yes. This is a thing.
Yeah. I don't know anyone in Britain with a basement.
Yeah.
No.
And it's a massive fucking basement.
It's a massive... It's not just a basement. I think
look at the size of it.
In America,
it's the size of...
In the script and big things happen
shed.
In this basement later. I think it was all written in. It was all done and they just said, "Oh, just build it. Doesn't matter who."
Now, there undoubtedly would become council houses that had basements.
Yeah.
But you bet you they were probably former... Like coal holes.
Aye, yeah. We're a coal cellar. Yeah.
But what they did not have was fucking washing machines.
No. Big American style washing machines at that. It would have been a twin tub.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to, and as we know, as any sensible person knows, you have to have a twin tub in the kitchen because it needs to plumb in and there needs to be a pipe.
Absolutely, yeah.
Funnily enough, I was just talking about twin tubs with my mother yesterday.
Well, because I think you and I talked about twin tubs last week.
Because we remembered that...
Proper work. It kept women stuck in the kitchen properly.
But they got your clothes clean, Mark.
Oh, aye. Absolutely. It smelled wonderful as well, yeah.
But my great-grand had this amazing twin tub machine that she gave us. And you know, there was the twin tub, dear listener. On one side was it heated up the water to the temperature and churned round. Mm-hmm. And then you lifted it out and put it into the spin dryer next to it. The one my great-grand had just heated up and kept on heating up.
Oh, wow. It's still heating up.
It just kept on going.
Nice.
So you couldn't... Eventually you had to take the clothes out of it because it would just start to boil.
Yeah.
And keep on boiling. And when you put it into the spin dryer bit, it didn't have... It just kept on getting faster. So eventually... Clothes, it was like a centrifuge.
Yeah, yeah.
So eventually clothes became like, you know, enriched uranium. And my mum actually didn't realise this the first time she used it. And this was when, like, it was like 1972 or something. And a jumper that was, a kiddie's jumper went in and came out literally like the size of a blanket.
Now, in America, Ed Warren is here complaining about academics telling them that they don't know and only what they've done. Now, interestingly enough, I looked this up. It seems that Ed and Lorraine Warren's work was in fact looked into by the New England Society of Psychical Research.
Mm-hmm.
The New England Skeptical Society or Skeptic Society looked into them. And how do you think they described their work?
Slapdash?
Baloney. They said it was nothing.
Right, here's another weird point. Two things about this that I think are weird that they get wrong. And we should point out, by the way, that it doesn't actually detract from the enjoyment of the
No.
First of all, a zoetrope,
but
that's musical.
Aye.
Yeah.
I've never seen a zoetrope that was music that had a music box in it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there never was, but I've never seen one.
Yep.
The second one is The Crooked Man.
Yeah, that
now,
feels
this
very
is presented
modern, isn't
as
it?
A sort of old fashioned, oldie worldly English folk,
yes. Yeah.
Which I've never heard.
Yeah, no, not the Cricket Man.
Can I point out there was one musical zoetrope which was One from the Heart? Didn't go well. Francis Cornwallis. Didn't go well.
Oh, here's another weird thing. The wee laddie. I love biscuits, Mum. Get biscuits. I love biscuits. And they're digestive biscuits.
That's good. I like digestive.
Yeah, but wee kiddies. No. They want a digestive biscuit.
You want a pink wafer.
Or a yo-yos. Or a pink wafer.
My dad loves the digestive
Or a munch, a mallow.
Just as long as it's
two
not...
Two digestive biscuits with a bit of butter in the middle. That's
love
a,
it,
that's
yeah.
Yeah,
I like a bit mama as well.
Make the,
is that bad?
It? Well, that's because that you're essentially bad. English. I maintain that Marmite...
I'm not just essentially English. I'm English.
Yeah, but Marmite is not an English... is not a Scottish thing, I think. You didn't
and then you squeeze the biscuits together.
And then it comes out the little holes, yeah. That's very satisfying,
isn't it? I'm thinking we never used to get Marmite up here until about the late 80s or something.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. Yeah. Because it used to be one of those things like McDonald's that I just thought you got abroad.
And Walker's Crisps, didn't get Walker's Crisps.
Yeah, you didn't get Walker's Crisps. You got candy back at you.
Nor did you really get much Tizer. That was quite unusual.
No, that was another thing you used to see in like jokes and American in English comedy shows.
Yeah, and Watney's Red Barrel was another one.
Yeah. Party 7.
Yeah. And what's that Carling Black Label you never used to get up here?
Yeah, because there used to be all those adverts. Maybe they used to win awards for
Carling
Black Label. I've literally no idea
what
that is.
Again, Stephen Frost and the other
were
guy.
Were they the Oblivion?
That's them. Those guys, yeah.
The Oblivion Brothers.
Oh, yeah. So this is where Janet now starts to become the centre of the podcast activity.
She does.
Yeah.
And so you never told us very much about the Enfield
Poltergeist. Yeah. So we sort of got distracted.
Famously, what's the enduring image? Enduring image.
The enduring image is of her jumping off a bed.
Yeah.
Essentially, and someone taking
and
a photograph
of that. And it also became the inspiration for?
Callback.
Ghostwatch?
Ghostwatch, yeah. But I think the turning point in this is certainly in the real case, is when a couple of police officers...
Yeah.
Turn up and they report that they have actually witnessed podcast activity.
Yeah.
I think they get stuff thrown at them.
Which is actually quite interesting, that part of the story.
Yeah.
That the police recorded.
But as Rose says in her fictionalised version of this, with her version of Janet, it says, listen, I made it all up. And then someone says, well, how did you do it? And she answers something along the lines of, well, you know, when you go on the internet forums and they have all these ways that I could have done it, it's just that. In other words, it's never anything very complicated. And
which brings us to Jonathan Creek, which we'll talk about at some point.
Jonathan Creek?
Thank you.
So, there we are.
So this is, I think, so are we getting to the point where there's like the first sort of...
She's just heard her doing the voice thing.
Yeah.
Oh, she's passing in my head.
And again, I think this is one of those things, you know, with these supernatural stories. So we've already had the thing about the book turning up next door in the real case. And
this is my ears.
And so then the next thing is another great thing about this case that people bang on about is the fact that when she did the voice of the old boy, that there's no way that she could have sustained that for any period of time. So therefore, she must have been possessed. Because it would give her a sore throat. And you kind of think, well, do you know, what is the balance of probabilities?
Yeah,
she can do it. Or she's actually
possessed.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a bit like that thing that bothers me, well, one of the millions of things that bothers me at the start of Prometheus. Yeah. You know where they have the thing where they have all the different civilizations that have the same picture? You think there's no way that they could have contacted each other, so it must be aliens. Well, on balance of probabilities, they had a way to contact each other.
They had
a boat.
Yep.
Have we talked about my amazingly scary paranormal concept that I came up with? I don't know if we have on these podcasts.
Well, don't talk about it now, because it may be worth something in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm copywriting it if it goes on
top
right
now.
I don't
care. That doesn't stop. It doesn't help me to ripping it off if you tell everybody about it.
I think I could tell you. So you've heard of EVP, electronic voice phenomenon. Yeah? Yeah? What were you saying there? You big fucker.
Hey, go on.
So I came up with... electronic voice phenomenon is when you're... When you're listening to static and you can hear voices in it.
Right.
So, what's more? What's the scariest? Craig, what's the scariest thing in the world?
What's the scariest thing
in the world? Come on, Craig, what's the scariest thing in the world? Come on.
When you first asked me about I actually answered it correctly by saying a ghost up your bum.
So AVP, right? This is the next big film. Yes, it's an anal voice phenomenon. So you go, so yeah, yeah. So when you break wind, it goes, get out of my house. Yeah, that's it. And if you try and sneak out a silent one, then a cup somewhere in your house falls over. And we would, and our film, our film.
Some of the ones people have done right? in this house is more so, than cups of
water. So the film of it is called. You ready for this? So it starts. So Craig Williams is our explorer, and he's going to bring you this story, and it's called Poltergust.
Poltergust. We came up with some other good names.
It sounds like a strip in The Wizard and Chips.
Yeah, I can't remember the other ones, but we came up with some good other good ones.
Grandma House.
See, this is quite good, this stuff here. So we're back in the house, the actual film. And
my recorder keeps moving. That's
there's no explanation really for why this...
It's my headphones. Sorry.
That's you, farm.
Carry on, my love.
Why this tent is up in the hall. It's just all
Yeah, I guess he's just playing with it, isn't he?
And when they start to get shit scared of it, they never think, well, tear that tent down.
Yeah, that would help.
It was full of wigwams, the 70s houses.
70s were full of
wigwams. Oh my god, 70s houses were just full of wigwams.
Wigwams everywhere.
It was because of a program called Whizbit.
Then some hipster cunted to them to the thoughts were
Whizbit? What were the words we came up with for Whizbit today?
Martin Conahan.
Why, I said this.
Yeah. But the one for you, Jack, was Van der Vogt.
Come on
Jack
in.
Jack Cable White. Yes, he's Jack Cable White.
And do you remember your one?
No, what was mine again?
Are you ready? Craig Williams. Craig Williams.
I came up with a better one. Craig Williams.
There's always Craig Williams. That's good,
nice.
Isn't it?
That's quite nice.
So I think we should invite...
My mum loved that. She had the single of that.
Always there.
She had the 7-inch.
Me singing Craig Williams?
No. Of always there.
Did she sing your name to it? Because if she didn't, she didn't love you. Did your mum like semen?
Oh yeah, that was your running joke. Was that yesterday or was that today? I can't remember. I think it was yesterday.
You've got to see. The thing is, you have to do it in the Howard's Way voice.
Did your mum like semen? For God's sake! This house is full of poltergeists.
Poltergeists. Yeah. Who's just dropped one? It wasn't me.
Get out of my house. My house.
Now, what do we?
A yacht, parked in the garden for years.
What do we know about that leather chair?
Probably in a hot day.
Yep,
it would probably smell of bums.
Why? That's the weird thing. It's like, so the premise of that chair is that that was there when we got here.
Uh-huh.
And they thought, yeah, that we'll just leave that.
Yeah,
yeah. An old man died.
Died in this leather chair with a rock in it, and we'll just leave that there.
It's like the Pertwee chair.
Now this is quite good.
Yeah, that's like stylishly done, isn't it?
So there's a few mental things about this. First of all, it's 1977.
Yeah.
Right. So she's at home in the afternoon, off school.
Yes.
Not well.
Yep. Yeah.
First of all. The telly's on.
Yes.
At all.
Why would you bother? Because it would just be
test card music.
Yeah. Unless you were lucky enough to see Leonard Parkin doing the news at one.
It's 77 to Live and Let Die. Is Live and Let Die happened by 77?
Yes, it has. Yeah, definitely.
So, telly's too big for a start.
Yep.
And there's a remote control.
Yeah. Which no one had a remote control.
The Queen was on the telly there. The Queen didn't have a remote control telly.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I remember at the cinema when that happened, we actually looked at each other and went, what?
And we're like, what? Now, however, the Goodies episode there that they click over to.
Oh, she's just seen someone behind her.
That's Maggie Thatcher, look.
Yeah, no, it's sort of. She could see a reflection in it and they're. And that's gone. But she flicked over and there was an episode of The Goodies. That's the right episode of The Goodies for the time.
Is it?
The Christmas one, yeah.
Okay.
Except, why would it be on the telly in the afternoon?
That's right.
It would be on in the evening, being watched by 80 million people.
Absolutely,
quite right.
And never seen again.
No.
This is probably what he would say, they never fucking repeated it.
Yeah.
There's another phone.
Largely because they were quite racist as well.
And that Christmas episode is the one that finishes with the world blowing up.
And also, no one answered the phone by saying the Hodgson residence. She always just gave your phone number, didn't you?
Yeah. I would have picked it up in 1977 and I would have said
4291.
No.
Doggy, you know who that is?
Little doggy picked up, yeah.
01313431454.
Yeah. 6051.
Round the corner when we lived in Mount Vernon.
6051.
760-1571.
Yeah. Wow. See, that's it. I was...
my jeans are... Oh, no, it's still a number.
I went
back... She had a telephone voice, though. My jeans got a telephone
voice.
Oh,
yeah.
Who recorded... Who recorded the message for your answering machine?
We didn't have an answering machine.
Did you not? We had one at one point.
Yeah, my dad got an answering machine in about 1990. And then him and his pal spent... hours.
Did they?
Obviously, and you know what he was going to try and put on it.
What, go on?
Well, he spent hours trying to get the Rockford files onto it.
Oh, of course.
By holding it up to the table. They thought this was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was the size of a small car.
Yeah.
Can I point out that Thatcher, the Iron Lady thing, was not happening in 77. That came in the 80s after she became in power.
Absolutely.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
they call me. Remember that? Was it? Who was it? Janet? Was it Janet Brown or Faith Brown? I always get wrong.
Janet Brown was the old one that was Peter Butterworth's wife.
Right. Janet Brown was the one. Remember who did Thatcher? And she had that record. Knockers.
They call me the Iron Lady.
Yeah.
She was quite good, Janet. She was from Glasgow.
She's from Rukesi.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Look. There he is.
There's your man.
Here it's coming. Here it comes. Here's the big scare.
Come on.
Is he here?
Yeah,
here it comes.
It's actually quite well done.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
My ass.
Our pal Alan, that we saw this one, we had to scrape off the ceiling of the cinema.
Went through the roof. Brilliant.
At that bit.
Have you seen the Nationwide item? On
yes. Yes, I don't think I saw it at the time. Yeah. I've seen it since.
With Michael Barrett going, and that's utter bollocks.
That is all rubbish.
And now let's get more shit heels from where you are.
Here's James Hogg.
Nationwide.
On an island. I remember the newspaper photographs.
Do you?
Of
it. Did it scare you?
It scared the fucking life out of me.
Really?
We need to make mention of this.
No, I'm talking about the photographs.
Yeah, but this is the film.
Yeah, but that just suits you now.
Right,
I'm talking about the photographs.
With the bit of the scary nun.
Yes.
So has a token of love.
He's going to draw the
scary nun.
He's done a painting of
paint
the
scary nun.
That's a weird thing to do, isn't it?
Remember that scary nun that scared your shitless sweetheart?
Yeah. I had a big picture of her there. Yeah. Like, here's a picture.
Here's a big life-size picture
of her. Here's a picture.
Do you remember what you've got to look out for?
Yes.
Could you see it there?
Yes.
There it's there?
Yeah.
Where is it?
On the sort of dado river there. Oh, Valak.
Yeah.
Oh,
spoiler.
We need to come
back to that because it's one of the most mental things.
Yeah. It is extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah.
But do you know what it reminded me of?
What?
I spread the word through time.
Oh, yeah.
Bad Wolf.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit like that.
I spread through time.
Yeah.
Do you remember the letdown of
Bad Wolf? They came back with giant teeth.
What? Do you remember the letdown of Bad Wolf?
Yeah, that it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
It was a great viral thing, though, that Bad Wolf.
Yeah,
everybody started to notice it.
Yeah.
I remember getting a taxi into the town to go to the pictures to meet somebody at the time, and the taxi driver was going, "What's that Doctor Who?" And I went, "Yeah." "What's that Bad Wolf all about?" And I was like, "I don't know what you mean." And he told me, and I was like, "Ooh."
Yeah,
I did not notice. A few episodes in. Then there was the Dalek graffiti they were going to do, and then they dropped that.
What was that?
At various different points during the first series, the Return series, there's this sort of graffiti.
Uh-huh.
Angular sort of thing. It's meant to be Dalek graffiti, but they didn't pursue that.
So Dalek went out there with a spray can?
Yeah.
I'm going to mess this fucking shit up.
Bastard, touching Randy Lefthans.
Yeah, I'm going to show that man.
Anyway, so you shit yourself at the infield poltergeist pictures.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, very much so.
You would do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it was terrifying. Of course it was.
I think I first came across it in...
This shit was going on.
This shit was real.
Yeah, probably in a book about ghosts or poltergeist.
Well, actually, funnily enough, you should say that. I just last week took possession of this reprint of the Usborne Book of Supernatural Guide to Ghosts, which is...
Is that before or after infield? Is that in there?
It's not in there, no, but it's from the 1970s. It's 77, 78. It's great. I've got the little Usborne guides that I got showing you. I think
yes,
I brought
you brought them around here once.
But this is the big paperback.
Big boy.
It's good,
lovely.
So there's doors getting clattered. I love the way it says music playing through headphones for the lassie in the bed. What? If she were listening to headphones, it'd be like big fuck off giant headphones.
They would be enormous.
Attached to her dancette.
Have you seen what Janet looks like now?
Yeah,
bless her heart. She looks like she had a really tough
life.
Does
she look like Ed Warren?
She does, yeah. Yeah. She was on this morning, I think, about 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, she looked like she'd had quite a unpleasant
quite a rough
life.
Time.
I think
I'm
so,
not
yeah.
surprised.
Yeah.
But her mum went on living in the house, didn't she?
Yes, that's right, she did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't
enough.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's fucking massive, that's why.
Once all was a huge basement.
Yeah.
Once all those arseholes and the papers fucked off, it was a great place to live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, around the same time as this, there was also ITV's three-parter, The End of the Haunting.
Good. That's good.
Very good. Yeah.
Is that the thing with Timothy Spall?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that Morris Gross? Was that ITV? I thought it was Sky.
No, it was ITV. Oh, maybe it was Sky. I think
maybe
it was
Sky.
Right,
yeah.
It is
good. Matthew McFadden. I don't like Matthew McFadden.
He's a bit stiff, but he's quite good as Guy Playfair, isn't he?
Because yeah, he is actually.
Yeah.
And Guy Playfair was the who wrote the book This House Is Haunted. Uh-huh. Which is actually quite a good book.
Yeah.
He was supposed to
the factual book. This house isn't
haunted. Well, he maintained
it's a good book. If bollocks.
Yeah, he maintained until his death a couple of years ago that it was not true.
Did he?
As did Morris.
It's not true.
I mean, this film doesn't. Although it's got the great Simon McBurney in it. What this film doesn't go into that does rather well is that Morris Gross, who becomes the sort of one of the central figures in examining it.
Yeah,
he had suffered a real tragedy in his life.
His daughter had been killed. Yeah.
Does this film mention it? I don't remember.
I think he talks about it outside.
There's a bit where they're outside and he says, "Oh, my daughter died."
And so you can see why he kind of wanted to believe.
He wanted to believe in the afterlife,
and why he wanted to help these little girls.
Yeah.
Not that way.
No.
And a remarkable moustache as well.
Yeah.
He did have a good moustache. Yeah.
Kind of moustache you don't see anymore. Yeah. And he was quite an interesting man. He was an inventor.
Two great moustaches at the time. The two great. Sort of a real life documentary moustaches of the time. His and Jackie Mann.
Jackie Mann.
Sonny Mann's glasses.
He died horribly when his glasses fell off and hit him after he got.
So Morris Gross was an inventor.
She couldn't see past him.
He was.
Did he invent a lot of fucking bullshit about the paranormal?
But he didn't really mean it. He was trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think anyone was in this.
I think retrospectively, right, I think Guy Lyon Playfair's probably kicked the arse out of it because it sort of made his career, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, he was the one that benefited from
it. And obviously,
I think Morris Gross.
The Warrens now, a little bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like anybody else is actually particularly.
And I think
the
Warrens are shut eyes. I think Lorraine Warren is a shut eye.
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
What?
A shut eye is a term in the show world.
Uh huh.
So, like, you know, people who do cold readings, like psychic, people who say they're psychics, but are cold readers, and they'll say things like, you know, oh, Craig, you probably had quite a difficult time between the ages of 13 and 18.
Amazing.
Yes.
You probably had a wee wank. I see a young Craig.
I reckon probably.
I think you doubled over having a bit of a wank.
Probably when you were between the ages of... about 3 and 8, I see a fall.
Yeah,
you cut your knee.
Amazing! Amazing. What happened? Yeah.
A shut eye is somebody who starts to believe their own.
I see. Pattern. So why shut eye?
Because they close their eyes to the truth of it. So they get so good at it.
I'm like that.
Because
they get
so good at it because they just. Learn to do it so that they convince themselves that they actually have a gift. And I suspect that the Warrens were shut eyes or she was a shut eye. They started out, I don't think probably maliciously, but she's, you know, like there's a fantastic episode of Bob's Burgers where Linda hits her head and thinks that she's suddenly a psychic because she just picks up on things that are really obvious. Mm. And then she starts going, and she starts to believe that she actually is psychic till she realises actually they're all like total coincidences.
I think
Lorraine Warren is probably a bit like that.
Yeah.
I had a chat with a chap called Philip Escoffey, who's like the guy who So if you try and book Darren Brown, you can't
Philip
get him.
Philip
Escoffey, that's his name.
Philip Escoffey.
No, Escoffey. Philip Escoffey.
Right.
Escoffey. right? So you try and book Darren Brown, he's too expensive, and then there's like another three guys in the run, and then you get to him, Felix Coffey. He did a thing for five, which is actually quite good. But so I was.
Why did the other three like Ali Bongo?
And well, so I called him up to have a, I called him up to have a chat with him, and he said, "Oh, that's fine." And he said, "Oh, hello, Jack," and he started talking to me about my cat and so on, to sort of. Kind of make me go, what the fuck?
Because he just presumes you're gay.
No, he just, that's not a bad point. No, he'd look me up on Twitter and I'd tweet him. However, he said, because I asked him a question about when you're doing live shows, how do you know what kind of people to pick who are going to be susceptible? And he says, when you start out...
self-selecting.
Well, he says, when you start out, there's all sorts of tells that you look for.
Are they the ones sitting greeting and going,
probably. But he says, after a while, you kind of forget what you're looking for. Because it's so ingrained that you just pick people. And he thinks that is one of the ways that you can end up as a shut-eye. Because because it's so ingrained that you forget.
You just go over the start. But then they start to believe it. Now,
yeah.
There's the biggest cooker in Britain.
Yeah,
I know, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
Now, they'd be lucky, this family, given the circumstances they got, that they had a fucking tabletop baby bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they certainly would never have turned the oven on.
Look at the size of the kitchen, and then look at all these rooms.
Yeah,
the house is fucking massive.
Yeah. No wonder them wallpapered it. It would fucking take forever.
Yeah.
The kitchen table is enormous.
Yeah. It's just not what a kitchen table in the 70s was
like. Oh, no, it'd be one of those nice little fold down melamine top or Formica top ones that I used to have to
wear. Yeah, they're lovely. Yeah, nice.
Because everybody was dotty. People only ate once a day.
So they did run across the neighbours and the police did turn up. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, so I suppose. And this is what the police said. Yeah, the chair moved, and I think he gets. Lego or something chucked to him or something.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nicely done.
Which actually
put it back in the right place.
That's all the nonsense that happens later on. One of the most effective bits
is a chair moving.
Yeah,
because I always say the things that I've said before. The things that freak me out are the things that seem real in real life. And the lights are on and they're all standing there and that happens.
Yeah.
And that scares the shit out of me.
Absolutely.
Whereas if in the dark is something going, mess! It gives you a jump scare. Yeah. But it doesn't stick with you.
No. Because there you're actually seeing something that's against the grain of how things work.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that is exactly it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in America, it's 90 degrees
so
and
they
the
have...
fire's on.
I know. It almost amazes me that.
And they have...
Hang on. What's that? What's that on
the wall? What's that in the bookcase?
Uh-huh. Is it spelling out MacGuffin? Is that what it's doing?
What does it possibly say?
But, I mean, they have to tack all this onto it because the Warrens' involvement was so incidental.
So minimal.
Which kind of skews the film because it makes it too long.
Mm, yeah.
And none of this stuff's particularly interesting, to be honest.
No.
So every time you come out of the
house... No, shit.
You feel about it.
Yeah, we don't need this bit.
Because the thing about a haunting, particularly, I think, in a situation where people are in a certain... Where people are in a certain sort of economic... kind of bind like that is that they can't escape it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they're stuck with it. Whatever's happening, they've got to live there, they've got to go to bed there every night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, do we believe in ghosts?
That's why the late Pam Early is so good.
Exactly. Yes,
that's
she can't get out.
Yeah.
Spectacular Pam Early.
So, the question was what? Do we believe in ghosts?
Do we believe in ghosts, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, a universe with that wallpaper, there's no God.
There she is.
There she's there. Bye, pals.
I don't believe in ghosts, Craig.
That daughter looks like Jennifer Connelly.
There's a friend of Alan, our pal Alan.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of... Oh, he told us, remember, a friend of theirs, somebody knows, has a house in the country where people will go back where they've like been pulled out of bed. And
think, really? Yeah, can we go and stay?
Oh, that sounds fun.
I haven't been pulled in bed. They'd have a fucking job pulling me out of bed. Do you think I'd wake up in the middle of the night and just hear...
Can you imagine you and I?
Leave it, it's not worth it.
Are you a snorer, Jack?
Sometimes I wee snore.
Imagine the three of us.
Get shiver as well.
The three of us sharing a room on a ghost hunt.
Yeah, because
snoring would be terrible.
Right, wouldn't be the snoring, but the ghost would be coming and going, ghost, my way.
Yeah.
You'd have to open a window.
Good. It's like when we shared that room in Sea Kings for a few years.
Yeah, actually,
the bedroom we shared at Sea Kings.
See that thing of spirits and disappearing and going, ooh, that happens when I pull my duvet back and on.
Now, I've never had a vaguely or any kind of supernatural experience.
Yeah, let's get that picture of the fucking evil nun up on the wall. Yeah, now, this is a really nice sequence, I think.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. Have you had any supernatural experiences, Christopher?
Have I had any supernatural experiences? Not supernatural experiences. I've had the odd time where I've had really weird coincidences happen. Uh-huh. I'm quite prepared to accept they're weird coincidences. You know, where I've... it's happened to me a few times where I've like thought of a particular song or film or scene from my television and then it'll just appear.
Uh-huh.
I'm not suggesting there's anything other than coincidence, uh-huh. but I quite like those things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In fact, it happened to us quite recently. We were talking about, I put up a picture on Facebook apropos something else of Douglas Wilmer and Cromwell.
Yes.
And then we were in the pictures at the quay, and there were pictures, and on the wall they put up of stills of Odeons in Glasgow.
Uh-huh.
The Odeon in Glasgow as was, and the film shown in the film, and the picture of what they took was Cromwell.
That's right.
So I like things like that, but they're not supernatural, they're coincidences.
I've never had any, seeing as a creepy sort of shadow, I've never had any supernatural shenanigans like that. We probably talked about this in Ghostwatch, but my mum claimed to have seen a ghost.
Liar.
Don't say that. I am. Just because you're quite happy to fucking trash your mum's reputation to the world.
Liar.
Don't ever go at my mum.
I'm willing to believe, in a la the Stone Tapes, that there is a way that experience or something could be
recorded.
Resonant,
yeah,
in the right conditions. Because I think there's probably quite a good scientific basis for that.
It's like if you do a
if you reproduce certain conditions, you can probably see it.
Yeah.
But I hate to break this to the listeners, but see when you're dead, you're just fucking dead.
Yeah, you are just dead. Yeah.
Well, you've haunted.
Yeah.
I would quite like Jack to take back what he said about my mother.
Your mum?
Yeah.
What's that saying? That she was a liar?
About semen.
About semen? Okay.
No, she wasn't a liar, my mum. She thought she saw this.
She was mistaken.
She thought she knew who it was.
She was mistaken. Who did she think it was? My mum said, my mum thinks she's a ghost.
Except, here's the story. So, we used to live in a flat in Pennywell Road in Edinburgh.
Uh-huh.
And we lived in flat... one in the stair. What's the number of the stair? And it was tied. The house was tied to a job that my dad had at the time. He was a janitor.
Right.
At Craig Royston Community Centre.
Yeah.
And then he got a job as a janitor.
One of the best community centres.
One of the best. It was a wonderful place, actually. Was it? Then he got a job as a janitor down at Scottish Gas in Edinburgh. So we had to give up that house. But a house had just come available in the same stair in the middle floor, number four, four. So we moved up there.
Yeah.
So that was when I was about three. So I never knew about this ghosty thing until afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Except that my mum said it was one day she was in the house in number four.
Uh-huh.
Door went. She went to, it was a woman called, I think it was Doreen Turnbull who lived downstairs. Uh-huh. And she asked to come in. My mum brought her in. She's a nice woman. Sat down, had a chat, got talking. Mm. And then she asked my mum, had she ever seen anything unusual in the house?
Mm.
And my mum asked her to describe it. And my mum told me that she described the same person that she did.
Wow. So and was it and was it you?
No, it wasn't. Oh, okay. Yeah, kind of undercutting that there. That was actually quite a nice moment. Just for the nice wee at the end of it.
Yeah. I've just remembered that
I just going out at Halloween.
Yeah.
It's not and we say I'm trying to sell newspapers. Oh, wait,
newspapers.
Sorry.
I just remember actually the house
Constable Heaps.
The house that we lived in Wheaton Aston, right? My mother.
I'm sorry.
So we lived in a house in Wheaton. So Wheaton Aston in the Midlands.
No, you have to say it. Slower.
Wheaton Aston.
Morris Menina.
Right. Uh-huh. So it's Midlands. Yeah. My mum, and I think my dad also claimed that it was haunted by the ghost of a young child.
Happy marriage. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yes, that's right. Of a young child.
Is that
because what would happen?
Did your mum see that? And then it turned out the house belonged to the child.
That's probably what it was.
Then she just threw it on the pile.
But. She said that what happened is that we'd all been put to bed, right? And then they'd think they'd hear one of us running around. And it wasn't any of us. And it happened quite a lot.
It was Roger Three Streets.
That's what it was. Yeah. And then I think years later, we'd had a go with
Does that couch ring true? Think,
well, no. A Ouija board. Not the way it's sat either. Sorry.
We had a go with the Ouija board, and apparently that spirit contacted us and said its name was Viv.
What do you mean, apparently? You just said we apparently. Had a go.
But it didn't contact us. But...
Well, were you there with the Ouija board?
Yes, with the Ouija board.
And what happened?
It said, my name is Viv.
Did you see it in that voice? Yeah. Was it Sparky the Magic Piano?
That's right.
I'm all there.
That was because he overheard the cut into the YouTube for Take a Letter, Mrs. Jones.
Yes, yeah. That's right. So there we go. I'd forgotten that. So apparently I lived in a haunted house.
That couch doesn't live. Did it stop being haunted when you left?
Pretty much, yeah.
There you go. There's that. Another one cleared up.
It was haunted by your melancholy face.
So is this the nationwide report that they're doing here? Or is this...
It just sort of says it's the television news.
There's Morris, look. Oh, look, here we go. This is where she's going to start talking.
Yeah. And that's... Because that is the sort of camera that was on top of a car at the beginning of Nationwide, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
What the hell was that?
We've been haunted by Phyllis.
Percy.
Oh, come and live with me.
Come on, but
in fact, she is the evidence. She is the evidence that you can do that voice for years, isn't she?
For years and years. All you need Percy is the will to do it, and 80 would buy the
right, Percy love.
So, are you going to apologise to the listeners for not giving the appropriate beat to that ghosty story?
What?
Come on, I'm trying to create an atmosphere here.
Sorry, mate.
I'm trying to paint pictures with words. I'm trying to paint pictures with words. Simon McBurney.
Is that your phone, Jack?
Yeah, but it's on thingy.
Fucking dick.
It's on what?
That was hot. Do you know what?
No, hang on.
It's on... Oh, shit.
Now you fucked that up as well.
I dropped that as well.
You've hit me in the foot with it. You've been kicked.
Do you know what? It's like poltergeist time, isn't it?
Right, listen.
My phone's on airplane mode, so it should have done that.
Yeah, but it did it, Jack. That's the point.
Do you know what it said?
Jack, is that just broken the recording?
No, it's fine. Do you know what it just said? It said...
But Jack, that's not plugged into anything other than your headphones.
Yeah, it's just stuck in here. It's a self-contained recorder.
It doesn't need to be plugged in. Why would it need to be plugged in?
This is the boy that's plugged in.
What's that recording on to?
This.
It's not recording on
Of course it is.
This is recording onto itself.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That is recording onto this.
Right, fine. I come from the grave.
Yes, that was quite supernatural, wasn't it?
How did you die?
No, it just fell off the table.
But that shouldn't happen.
The old blind
you just started going.
The old man's telling
it
to the kids what happened to him.
We're being haunted by the ghost of Joey Deacon now.
Do you know how you dispel them? Chuck a shoe in the river.
You get Ernie to come and get
them. Ernie? What, the post office?
No, Ernie was
the guy that looked after
it. Oh, and Joey, he could understand what you were saying.
Yeah.
And he was on, that was some racket.
Joey says you have to leave the house to me.
That was some racket. Joey's getting really angry.
Joey says he prefers that kind of chocolate. He prefers a fruit club.
Joey says he wants even more smarina to get him about, and he should give it to me after he's gone, which will be quite soon. To the house of strange happenings.
Yeah. I like the fact that they've got the proportion of cars in the street, correct?
Mm. Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Just the one. Mm-hmm.
I like this neighbour's house. I like the fact that their neighbour, they've got a nice weekend.
Neighbour's house.
Narcissus. There's still a couple of weeks to pay on that sideboard.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A wee guy for Grattan will be around there in the morning.
Oh, thanks, wee kid.
Yeah.
Thanks,
so, this is also our 50th commentary.
Sort of.
What do you think of that? Well, it's our 50th.
Well, no, it's not if you don't include the mysterious disappearing commentary.
At this point, it's our 50th commentary.
Yeah.
Assuming that this doesn't get wiped.
Yeah, it would have been 51 had you not fucked that.
Supernatural
powers. It strangely wiped off the disc.
Look what that contrast done from you.
Did you find me in the week of Sent to be Bane?
I might have. I did it to a colleague. Sorry? I did it to a colleague. She doesn't like Christopher Nolan films, so I phoned them up. And he shouted, "Fuck off, I'm halfway through two fucking meetings, man. I'm really busy, mate."
What did he say?
He said, "I'm really busy doing stuff at the work." And I said, "Do you feel in charge?" "I'm a rat, man. I'm going to snap your back."
Baines had another stroke.
How would you feel about Tom Hardy snapping your back, Chris?
You could snap anything I like. Snap me in back, then you could fucking split me in two for anyone. I'd be supernatural. Fucking more chance of seeing a ghost right now.
Yes, this is our... But turn back to the... substantive point. Uh-huh. Do people want us to keep going? I've got no idea anymore.
I don't really care.
We took quite a long break.
Nobody's getting paid for it.
And it was summer. We don't like summer.
No, I don't.
I was in a mood that you could be asked doing them.
He's got his pajamas now. So.
Pajamas, yeah. It's all good.
All good.
Yeah. No.
There's only so many fucking commentaries you can do in one go.
Alright, easy tiger.
What's the best film that we
remember watched? We once did two in a night and one of them was two in a night.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Quite often we did that. Yeah, we're not doing that again.
No. Too old for that shit.
Broke me.
Was that, what did we do that now? It was 2012, wasn't
2012
it?
And some other...
Fucking 2013 by the time we finished, wasn't it? Fucking hell.
The film has since forgot.
That's yeah, this not is... a back door either, so to speak, in a British house.
This house originally had front and back were all glass doors. But not like glass all surrounding all that, but the doors were glass. Consequently, they were smashed in and everyone got robbed.
Aye.
Is that a kind of Slender Man trope?
Yeah, it's called the Crooked Man.
Well, the Crooked Man, but it's presented as if it's something that's been around since the oldie days. Yeah. But I think it's a real mistake to have all this CGI stuff at this point.
Yeah.
Because up till now it's been quite effective, your sort of things moving. And even your man, Malheth, is just a bloke in the makeup, you know. Rattling gasps. That's that cyber. Yeah. 2 weeks.
I'm not sure this ever happened.
No, I don't
think
2 weeks
to pay on that. Background to Betty Duke in the morning.
No, I
don't. She's got some sort of strange eye things going on, like she's possessed as well.
Yeah, and there was a sort of voice in the. Oh, she's been eating Ferola.
Yeah.
There's a weird sort of freeze frame here.
Aye, so now finally.
This is where they get involved.
How long is this been here? An hour. Yeah.
The two stories come together.
Yeah. There's a funny thing about. Both in the Conjuring. The Fudding 1 and 2 is this sort of the Warrens taking their complete direction and sanction from the church. And I find that I don't know anything about them, so I don't know whether that's...
They were quite religious, I think.
But it sort of suggests that they're paid by them, employed by them in some way.
Yeah.
Who do we know then?
Yeah.
So have you got some more notes in your drippy tit notebook that you haven't...
Why do you call my notebook drippy tit?
Drippy tit notebook.
You walk about, you literally walk about...
That doesn't make any sense.
Every day at fucking work, walk about...
In the hospital,
With a laptop.
Something you do.
As a note, walking about with it. And actually last week when I bumped into you on the way up, when you were with that guy that we were talking about a minute ago, you acted like a really snotty prick because you had a meeting to go to.
Do you know why I have a laptop?
I'm really busy, I've got a meeting.
Can I tell you why I've got a laptop?
Excuse me. And I was just going, I was just giving it, "Hi, man, how are you doing? All right."
Dead to
me. Went upstairs. "No, no, I'm really busy. I've got a meeting to get you. Because I'm Jack."
Do you know why I have the laptop?
Because I can't.
No, because it makes me big iron.
I'm sorry.
I'm the big iron. With the laptop.
The big iron. The big fuck off.
Right, so come on, what's in your notes?
Well, I've already told you the very nice thing about...
Sorry.
Yeah.
Who's the man?
Come here,
Ham.
Who'd you think?
Come on.
So, here's some facts and figures.
Yeah, I like them.
Budget, $40 million. Box office, gross.
$40 million, is that all?
Yeah, that's not much.
I think they took $116 million.
Christopher?
Oh, probably more than that, a couple of hundred.
$320 million.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can't argue those prices. Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Hide all that money.
Uh-huh.
Filmed between September and December 2015. As I said, only 10 days were in London. The Warrens did visit the house in 1978.
Very briefly, yeah.
And said they were convinced there was a supernatural explanation.
based on what?
Funny that.
Yeah.
This is the best fact, which I'd just forgotten about. Right. You see the thing you were talking about whether or not she could do that with her voice?
Yeah.
Who do you think they got in to consult about that?
Phyllis from Coronation Street.
I think
Street,
they
no?
got the little dog that can say.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no!
It's
going to be. It's going to be like. It's going to be like Ray Allen or
it
somebody.
Yeah.
They got Ray Allen.
Ray Allen came.
Fantastic.
In. Fantastic.
He said, "This is bullshit."
Don't be such a silly ass.
He didn't say this is bullshit. He's a nice man. He's not like you, Jack. He came in, and his professional opinion.
Is it because she'd taken the glass of water and all that?
Yeah. In his professional opinion, it was an act of ventriloquism.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Mm. Well done, Christopher. Wow. You win a blowjob from Jack.
Thanks very much
for the program.
That's going to sting.
What's wee Martin's wee joke that he uses? He said that again today, one of his wee favourite ones.
Oh,
when he gets really pleased, he said,
he's such
you're the
a
sort
nice
of guy,
guy. Yeah.
You're the sort of guy that if you went out the night and got two blowjobs, he'd give one to you.
Yeah. Okay, come back and give you one.
Now, the other thing
is,
this is the 70s in a house, a street of council houses, and it's Christmas, and there's not nearly enough Christmas shit going on there. I don't mean in the street and all that, but you would, in the windows, there's like a wreath. There'd be light, you'd be paper garlands, and people
would
have
on the outside of the house.
Oh, but they'd be in the windows.
Yeah, that's okay.
There'd be cards up in the window.
Aye,
and
there wouldn't be
tinsel. You know those gold tinsel sort of Merry Christmas things with the smile made up of wee slits.
Have you ever been tempted to go for the full outdoors?
Oh, it could be hard. It takes me all my fucking time to put the stuff up indoors.
But you love it so. So
I'd like to do that with the white lights and all that. But I'd end up killing myself trying to put it on.
Do you want to know a bit more about them?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a former. He was a World War II veteran and a former policeman.
Ray Allen.
Warren.
Warren.
Yeah.
Not a lorry driver then.
And Lorraine was a clairvoyant, apparently.
Pardon.
They founded the site.
Apparently, but not actually.
They were also a good bit older than this at this time than they are, because they actually founded the Psychical Research Association of America, American Social Researchiness, in 1952.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. 25 years ahead of this, though.
Mm.
They authored numerous books about the paranormal and about their private investigations. They claim to have investigated more than 10,000 cases.
What a shite. 10,000
cases. If you investigated 10,000 cases, that's like 3 a day for 10 years.
It's not.
Well, 10,000 cases,
it is.
It's more than that.
Because
3 a day would be about 1,000. Aye, 10 years. Yeah. 3 a day for 10. Do you think the investigations were like, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, bollocks.
Yeah, that's probably bollocks.
No, sorry.
Bullshit. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
What's that? Demon. What's this one? Demon. What's that one? That's a demon.
Yeah.
Poltergeist demon.
See that pile of all demons. But also,
what's that one? Leather chairs.
There is talk that now, when we came out of this film, I think the first thing I said to you was that was absolute nonsense. But I can't wait for the next one.
Mm.
And I think there's talk that The Conjuring 3 will revolve around one of their cases, which involves a werewolf.
Oh wow! Fuck
it. That'd be all right. Eh?
Is it the Shaw?
They said it's not going to be. It's because the Shaw is werewolf. Werewolf of Charlotte.
Werewolf in the granary.
Werewolf, he had a cottage chicken in his hand.
I met a werewolf in the arcade.
he was trying to find a proper
trying
shark.
To find Willies.
yes, werewolves. And werewolves. And he. And that'll be good. It's out next year.
Wow.
In the third Annabelle film, they somehow or other managed to crowbar in the great beast of Norfolk known as Black Shuck.
So they did, that's right.
Which is a one-eyed devil dog from Norfolk, which suddenly turns up in suburban New England.
Wow.
But it's just a cat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Vera.
It's just a cat in a window, isn't it?
Got a question for her. Why the long face? She has a very long face, isn't she?
She has quite a long face.
That's right, it's a very nice-looking lady. But I actually thought the big reveal was going to be that the nun was her. Because the nun was a bit like her.
Yeah.
She's got a long face, too.
So the... When she appears in the, obviously, in the first Fudding film, she's in the star, Vera Tagliatella.
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, Formica. But I hadn't really known her from anything else.
She's in two other
films. She's in the Bates Motel, the Bates series, isn't
so,
she?
Yeah.
Which I'd never seen.
I know her from Source Code. She's very in good. Source Code.
Oh, right, okay.
And she's also in... that one with George Clooney where he flies everywhere and they have an affair. You know, when he's a businessman, he's travelling by air all the time.
All right.
Oh, okay.
No, not aware of that one.
But, I don't know, it's just that when she appears in the first film, there's this. So this must have been like her first like proper starring role then.
I think so, yeah.
Which is like above the title.
Having said that, she'll probably now turn up in every fucking film that you ever see.
Yeah.
From now on in. Look at the size of that house.
So the
it actually bears no resemblance to the house on the outside.
That's true. Yeah.
Simon McBurney, we have talked about how great he is.
Yeah, he is great.
I saw him on stage.
I poo snakes. With the immense Archdeacon Robert.
Yes.
And Rev. Rev's a comedy series that's been completely forgotten.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great program.
Never seems to get sort of repeated or referred to.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a terrific programme.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
I have it on DVD. It also looks lovely. It's beautifully made. Mm. And he's just great in it.
Oh, this isn't it, is it?
Oh, when he sings. I think that's later in
the
night.
Oh, God, yeah, I've forgotten
that's
about
the most
that.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
What's nice, though, is that in the next film, The Conjuring 3,
Annabelle 1, when he comes home.
He's about to start singing and it cuts away.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
So what are the Annabelle films then?
And then about a doll called Annabelle who's evil. Okay. Possessed by the devil.
Right.
Or sort of because she's there, other things get in
demons,
or something.
Demons
yeah.
get out.
And are they related to these films then?
Yeah. You'll see as they come to the end of it, they always have this thing about they have the...
Yeah, they have this wee room in their house. With all the...
$10 a time.
Okay.
With like... fucking possessed things. Uh-huh. Though it's a bit of a kind of the end, as you'll see at
the
end.
Terrifying one.
Because it fucks up her telly.
Yeah.
As you'll see at the end. Anyway, this is the sort of what does it say? It says, I hate that dog.
Yeah.
It says big in this and big in that. That's what it says.
Also,
can I point out that in 1970s Britain, nobody had a swing in their garden.
Yeah.
Not unless
you're lucky skinheads, like they said, fighting in the bar.
Duke of Bamford or something.
Take the skinheads bowling.
Remember when they used to chain up swings on a Sunday? Because it was sinful to go to the bar.
You know?
Yeah, it's true.
I think I remember that.
It's a story told about the Western Isles. I've never known it to happen anywhere else.
You used to do it at the park around the corner.
Yeah, that never happened when I lived.
Mm. Well, there you go.
If you tried doing that here. In the park where I grew up, someone would have killed you. Mm.
No, they used to do it here. They used to do it in Wester Road.
There you go.
In case you enjoyed yourself.
I just said I don't remember it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it did happen down here as well. I don't know why. And you never saw anybody do it. Ghosts. Oh, no!
It's unlearned water, was it?
Wow.
But
in the 1970s, the media had was way more credulous.
It wouldn't take much. You just scrape it.
Sorry, Jack.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the 1970s, the media was way more credulous, I think, about the supernatural.
It is amazing how often mainstream media, as we call it now, covered stuff like UFOs and things.
Yeah.
Because I saw the Milford Haven story about the UFO thing in the school.
Yeah,
I saw that on like Nationwide and shitting myself as well.
Well, and there was
the Loch Ness Monster was on.
The fucking time. Yeah.
But there was
and not in a last item on the news.
No,
kind of,
if you look on YouTube, there's a report about a UFO somewhere that's done by Jon Snow for ITN.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a Newsnight report about missing Cub Scouts on
the
hill,
king of the North.
And it talks about that they've been found, right?
Uh-huh.
And it says they've been found thanks to the work of a clairvoyant.
There you go.
Well, of course, there was the clairvoyant involved in the Ripper investigation as well.
Was the Yorkshire Ripper investigation?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, what do you think happened? Fuck all.
Fucking bullshit. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I know the police often.
What happened was he got arrested for a violation.
If that's on the news, they'd say it was because of a clairvoyant. They found them.
Yeah.
Than it's just a fucking coincidence.
This is quite good. This is the way they do this. Which is sort of out of focus in the background and sort of grows into the guy.
Yeah, it's
the guy.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you see, he's a good director.
Yeah.
Although you do keep thinking, if you were just to turn around and focus properly, you could see what was going on.
Yes. Yeah.
As a haunting. So
yeah,
how,
I can.
Did you turn around and have a look? No, I didn't. I just looked the other way.
No, he told me not to.
We
didn't think to turn around and have a quick look.
No. Because
then you'd know for sure.
He said not to.
Yeah,
I was too artfully lit.
Yeah.
He always looks a wee bit daft, Patrick Wilson.
He does,
he?
Yeah.
He looks like he's really thinking about it.
Mm.
Well, you know, before he was in films, he was like a star of musical theatre.
Was he?
Yeah. I think he'd help out in a rush.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's quite good, isn't it? But you do think, like you said, Naughty Luke, you think you'd just go like that.
Yeah.
I'll just leave this mirror.
Yeah, you would, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
My mirror.
I mean, it looks like he's really acting hard there, old.
Yeah.
My Patrick really going for it. Do you not think, if you're... what a weird situation that must be for somebody. I mean just like the actor.
An old man.
No, I mean, you're in a... Because it's a set... There's absolutely no atmosphere whatsoever. Mm. You're crammed with fucking electricians standing just footering with lights, not paying the slightest bit of attention to you. There's a camera on you. Everybody's looking in a different direction because they're trying to make everything work.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to do that.
Mm. And
it's a very strange setup.
It is.
Yeah,
and what thanks do you get? All they do is pay you millions for it.
Yeah.
And they give you, you know, money and awards and absolutely loads of respect.
Yeah.
And
no life.
For Patrick, constantly having to fight off a large hairy man trying to give him a blowjob.
He's been haunted by a pair of pyjamas. He keeps on reporting seeing them hanging about outside his window.
Wafting open.
Yeah, terrible. Poor boy.
He's another one that just, as Vera, his wife, his cinema wife, he kind of appeared really out of nowhere, didn't he?
I hadn't really seen him in
Road and stuff like that.
Before... Watchmen, I'd never really paid in. I'd never really know. I'm sure I've seen him and stuff, but I'd never really noticed him. Fucking noticed him in that. Before I fell asleep.
He doesn't play the blue man in Watchmen, though, does he? He plays the Night Owl.
No, he plays the Night Owl.
Yeah.
The blue man. See, but that's a CGI, Bobby.
Aye. It's played by Billy Crudup.
Yeah, that doesn't
count. Manhattan.
But do you actually see his actual Bobby, or do you just see the sort of silhouette of it?
Who?
Him, Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. I don't know, I thought you meant Billy Crudup. No, you see it. Pretty much see it. Unless it's prosthetic one, but that's like fake tits.
What scene's that in?
Where him and
Super Tits.
No, I can't remember her name. There's the
Silk Spectre.
Silk Spectre. Is she Silk Spectre or is the mother Silk Spectre?
Both.
Oh, they're both the same, right. Yeah. So so that's they're shagging in the Archie flying thing with, I don't know how you could fuck to Leonard Cohen playing, I don't know.
Yeah.
The slowest shag in history. And then they're sort of, and then it goes a bit arty and they're standing and there's a fucking nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
And all that. Fucking tiresome film.
It is, it's a shame, really.
Although there's this new series of it coming out.
Which is quite fun, right.
New year.
Yeah.
It does, I think, lend itself much more to sort of episodic.
Yeah,
format.
The trouble with the film is it's really well put together. It's beautifully made. It's done a lot of love, and they're all very good in it. It's just too stolidly kind of tied to the narrative. And you makes big changes, but it just plods.
It's actually also, I think, I know this sounds a bit weird, as every film is. You're like a sequence of sequences.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a flowing narrative,
But
I kind of think you're right. There's you know that thing that Orson Welles said you shouldn't do. There's too much reverence for the source material.
Yeah,
you can make your own film of it.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it would have benefited, and this is why maybe a series would be better because there's various different strands. that on their own would make... Because when I was watching, I was thinking, you know, this is so fucking plodding. Except that the storyline, like Rorschach's storyline, is really good.
Yeah.
And I thought, could we not just have his film? I don't need all the other stuff. Mm. Also, Dr. Manhattan in the film is a real prick.
Yeah. They muff all that, and they muff his relationship with Adrian.
Yeah.
And in the book, it's much more interesting, and he actually feels genuine remorse when he's done it at the end.
Yeah.
Whereas in the film, he doesn't. He's just a little cog.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, well, that's a muck.
He's just like, oh, well, there you go. See Bowie's eye.
I see he's played by Jeremy Irons in the film, so I don't, in the series. I don't know quite how they're going to...
Jeremy Irons?
Oh, what,
woken up?
Yeah.
Oh! The bald man did a funny.
No, he didn't.
That's an anagram.
Has done a funny.
You love an anagram.
What's that for?
What? Jeremy
Irons? The bald man has done a funny.
I don't know. What is that?
From the thick of it, yeah.
Okay.
I beg to differ.
So what's happening in this film, then?
This is actually where the film really lags, which is probably why part of this as well.
This is quite nice, though.
But again, it kind of does the same thing over and over again, doesn't it?
Yeah. Transported to the theater.
That must have been really hard for that cameraman being up there. Help!
Acoustic ceiling tiles in the house.
Yeah.
No Artex there.
Len Folds with, these are good to belt on you. You're the worst dog fire.
There he is.
The worst dog of your heat. It's terrible.
Then the milk boiled over. The gas went out and they all died.
Baby got burned.
She's married to John Stapleton, isn't she?
She is, yeah. Jade, yeah. She is married to John Stapleton.
There he goes.
And so marvellous they are too.
Yeah, lovely. There he goes. Yeah, he's off.
What was the programme John Stapleton stepped in to do? Did he take over from Kilroy? No,
Kilroy was BBC.
Yeah.
Time the Place was ITV.
See you in the morning.
See you in the morning.
And, or actually, it was more like, he's actually funny soft part of it. I always thought it was put on.
Yeah.
To make it sound like he was more empathetic.
Is he?
But the Time the Place was, no. Time the Place was ITV.
I remember that. I remember Mike Scott launching it as well.
Yeah, and I don't think he died. I think it was because he had a stroke or something, and then John Stapleton did it, and then he just kept on doing it. And I remember remember watching the Time the Place, because you used to watch it quite a lot, because you used to do that. You used to watch one and then the other.
Yeah.
There was always this woman, well, she wasn't always on it, but she was on it at least once a week. Big woman with blonde hair, and she was always talking, every subject she was talking, I thought, God, somebody's really pushing her. You know, she must have a good agent, they're really good. And it was Vanessa Feltz.
Oh, right.
She used to be on the Time, the Place all the time.
Was a member of the audience?
Yeah, just one of the crowd. Uh-huh. She wasn't like one of the guests, or eventually she would be like, Agony Aunt Vanessa Feltz.
Yeah.
But she obviously, some tie-up or agent or something or to do with Granada. And she was always on it.
I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Vanessa Feltz.
Well, I don't mind Vanessa Feltz.
Yeah, but she's still with that, was it Nigerian fella or whatever it was that she got together with? Remember? After her marriage split up,
Isn't she really, doesn't she get a massive salary as well now?
She has her show on, I think it's BBC London.
Yeah.
And then she had the BBC Radio 2 show, which was used to win all the Sonys and things.
Yeah.
She's hugely popular. No harm in her.
No?
Ain't no harm in her. Ain't no harm in the Feltz.
No.
Ah, this is this weird scene where they've locked the door by chaining it to the radiator.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Again, a house in the... A house in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, with central heating.
But we never had central heating until 1984.
All the time I lived in Millport, we didn't have central heating. Until we moved to Largs in 2002.
How long were you in Millport for?
Between 1991 and 2002.
So I think there was an episode... in the real case where she was sort of supposedly suffocated by the curtains.
Right, speak up, you jacks.
What?
Speak up.
I feel
like you're asleep.
What? What are you about? Sure, this is the weirdest fucking dream I've ever had.
And come on.
I'm asleep.
People are fucking listening. People are paying big money for this shit, man.
Oh, I like this pub.
Yeah. That's a lot of good money for this. But fucking snap out of it.
Too sort of clean and not
smoky. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, too new.
Pubs for shitholes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It should have lino and paper decorations
and really bright lighting.
When really bright lighting and fucking like smoke everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when you watch The Family, you know the BBC documentary. The pub and that is fucking shithole.
She's a very attractive lady, that German actress.
So is this chap Guy Lion Playfair then? He's with him.
Sorry?
Is this Guy Lion Playfair?
Is this Guy Lion O'Blair?
No. Guy Lion Playfair.
No.
This dude. Or is he a journo? Is he not in this at all, Guy Lion?
No, he's not.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's the recreation of
the
picture. They're quite well done. Hey! Yeah, they're quite well done, aren't they? Those is the info case, was it known in America? I wouldn't have thought it would have been, would it?
At the time?
Yeah. Or even when this film came out in America, like, would people in the US have known?
I think they probably would know about it by now. Because there's been... I'm sure there'd be... I don't think it's probably as well known.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, American television, just like here, is saturated with documentaries and programs about hauntings and things.
I am Spock, and I'm going to take you on the paranormal.
Yeah.
I can remember that.
Yeah.
In search of, what was that again? It was just in search of, wasn't it? In search of the Star Trek film sometime down the line.
Yeah,
that's right.
In search of something to do before we start filming the voyage home.
And I think there is also in the actual case, Janet later on says that she made some of the stuff up when it was on the wane because she liked the attention.
And she wanted to make them happy.
Yeah.
I'm more Ghostwatch parallels.
Yeah.
So this is the thing about we can't do anything until the church gets proof. I'm like, can't do anything.
Yeah.
Can you just do it?
Yeah.
Who's your work for you people?
Well, that's the thing. Oh my God.
Here we go. I'll be on my whole American culture. Hi there. Ha ha ha. Fuck off. Go home, Yankee. You'll just shake my mum.
Yeah, I forgot they did.
Come on, Mrs. Mills, you can't.
What is the point of this? What is the point of the sequence?
It's Christmas.
So weird.
It is a funny. I suppose what they've not managed to create any connection between the Warrens and all of the family.
Yeah.
Because the boy is hardly involved at all.
Yeah.
Until the fucking crooked man starts cutting into the place.
Yeah.
Except I know that when the Warrens went at the end of this, the kids would be heartbroken because the two really exciting folk have gone.
Yeah.
I remember having friends visiting from America, and I was just heartbroken when they left.
Back to normal.
Yeah, because it was just like
everything back to normal.
Just like mom and dad again. Well, I would hate that now, but I meant when I was a kid. And
did you like that when you were a kid? I hated it.
What?
Like family friends visiting. I don't like
you
that.
You never knew my family friends.
Your family, just family friends generally.
But your family friends might have been arseholes.
Yeah.
They were arseholes.
Your parents are. So.
His might have been all right. Mine were awful.
That's what you fucking said about my mum. She was a really nice woman.
Piggy Hook. Before.
See what you like, but it's not the last.
Before my dad realised he was his enemy, he came around with his kids, right? And his kid took my ruler and used it to batter my Andrew Skilleter penned poster of Colin Baker. I had a lovely poster of Colin Baker, right? Drawn by Andrew Skilleter, famous Doctor Who artist. Mm-hmm. And Piggy Hook's little boy went round and jabbed holes in it with his ruler. What a little cunt.
That was a bit off, to be fair. But Piggy was a bit of a cunt as well.
Yeah, but
she then went on to actually do really amazing work in
Bosnia. Because then he solved the Balkan War.
Yeah.
But the problem with that though, Jack, is that's not you've made the error there of saying you hate it when family friends come round.
Yeah.
What you mean is you hate it when those people come round.
Well, that's probably true. That's my main reflection.
Yeah.
For oh, here we go. Look, he's there. We go.
Oh, moon.
Yeah.
They never pick like Viva Las Vegas.
It's a moment of charm, isn't it?
You stop singing and get the fucking walls cleaned.
Yeah. Yes.
Get some sugar soap onto that fucking fireplace
tonight. Is your kitchen not right? You knew that was coming, didn't you? Yep. It's some top secret, isn't it? Is your kitchen aside?
I got it last year.
With ghosties and ghouls? Is there an old man?
why is there a tent in
the house? Do you have a possessed mouse? Oh, a possessed mouse, that'd be nice. Rip Fiennes.
So the reason I didn't have Guy Lang play Fiennes.
That's another thing you never had in the 70s. Asian fellas. Yeah. Never had. You certainly wouldn't have them in your house.
Fuck off.
Yeah. So they've given them all the Guy Lang play Fiennes things, haven't they? That he did, like filming them and all that shit.
Sorry, say that again.
What? So in this version.
Yeah, that's a good point, right. Actually. Yeah.
That's why
they've essentially
not
given him all the things that Guy
played. Oh, right, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Why don't you like Matthew Mahogany?
I just don't like him.
Matthew,
I think he does the same thing in every single thing he's in.
He's a bit dim, isn't he? He's married to Kinky Milicano. Yeah. She's turned it around since we started doing the commentaries.
I think she's heard one and thought, I better pull myself together.
There
are three aggressive fat men in Scotland who don't like me.
In what sense is she turned?
Because when we started doing the commentaries in Kinky Milicano,
she was something of a hate stroke comedy figure for us.
Was she?
Then she did Line of Duty.
She's great now.
Line of Duty, which was fucking brilliant. And then she's done other stuff since then. Uh-huh. Like, she was the only good thing is, what was her name? The Minister Itchy Pants and The Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah.
And in fact, to the extent that when she left that programme, it was rubbish.
It was rubbish.
So she's great now. She's on a roll. Yeah. And I think Chris is right. I think two things can happen when you're mentioned in a commentary.
You die.
Or you get better.
Or you get better.
You up your game. Can I just do my Line of Duty impression?
Go for it.
All right, mate.
Go on, mate. I could do my one where I cross my arms and look the other way.
Can I set something straight, by the way, for the benefit of the listeners and the world?
Yes,
let's set something straight and make a statement that needs to be made at this point in time.
Okay.
Richard Madden can't act.
Oh,
no, he can't. He's awful, isn't he?
I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how nice his arse is. He cannot fucking act.
That's awful.
We talked about it at some length at my little bit at the hospital. And I even said, like, are we getting this wrong? Is he good at playing a crappy policeman who can't... And it was our friend Mark who said, he's just fucking terrible, he can't act.
He cannot act.
It's confusing though, isn't it, for a while? Because you just think, is he meant to be sort of...
Well, like, you assume that...
Disingenuous in every moment.
Yeah.
Because he's so calculated.
I thought he was honking.
And actually, when you watch Game of Thrones back and watch his performance in that, he's shit in that
as well.
Yeah, he's
not good in that either.
I wanted an army. I got a mill. Shut up, you wee dick.
He's not good, and Bodyguard was another one that got worse and worse the longer it went on.
He's also pish in Rocketman. Just because you get the good fortune he got off with Taron Egerton.
Is it good, Rocketman?
I think it's contrived. I don't like those. Well, obviously it's contrived. It's a musical, but. I don't like musicals where everybody in the set turns around and dances towards the camera. Mm. Like Half a Sixpence.
Oh, yeah.
That winds me up. And so I think it's a bit like, oh, look, you know, that sort of... it's been such a terrible time. Oh, how are you? Oh, the shops are shut and I'm starving. Are you still standing though? I'm still standing. You know. But I mean, Taron Egerton's great. It outrageously glosses over the marriage. It happens. And then, like, 2 minutes later, whichever one, 2 minutes later, she's sitting going, oh, that's a sin for you. You're actually the gay.
I remember it's a bit obsequious in that respect.
For some reason, I remember Sam Bates being really upset about Elton John's marriage breaking down on the radio.
Oh, well.
There you go.
How terrible
nice
the news was.
Look at this basement full of water now.
Big old basement.
I read in The Guardian today, which I realised was something like a dick, the great Hadley Freeman's review of Elton John's memoir, which said is fucking brilliant.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really, really funny. And he has got, as he's always shown, he has a sense of his own preposterousness.
Yeah.
So he makes jokes about himself all the time. And I think, have a quote about his combination of, he loves voyeurism, but also he's quite OCD, so he said he would be standing there for a couple, two men were having sex on his pool, on his billiard table, and saying, don't come on the base.
The thing is, I think it's probably better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
I love Bohemian Rhapsody.
Because I think the way Bohemian Rhapsody, although everybody I think is very good, the way it rattles through the life is weird. Like, it's actually just weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Rocket Man's it's a bit... If you accept how stylized it is, and the, you know, the songs and all that, I'm just... See, I'm not a massive... I like Elton John from that sort of I'm Still Standing Nikita period.
Mm.
I like that. I like those kind of songs. And then I go off it again at that fucking Sacrifice shit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But,
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
I like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, that's great.
Yeah, that's a great song.
See, I don't like those early songs. I think they're all right, but I'm not that. I'm not Boor this way. They're fine. I'm going my way to watch a film with them in them.
That's when he uses the piano best as a pop.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, to be fair, you know what's good? There's the sequence where he first goes to America and is playing the club in Los Angeles. And, you know, like his song. That's actually a really nice sequence. But
I think...
apart from that, I was a bit
good. Bohemian Rhapsody, I think we talked about at the time, was almost everything about it is actually, by any measure, shite and daft. But it's got such heart that I just loved
great
it.
Great film, I loved it.
Terrific picture. Loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, you can't not like it.
Yeah, it's got such a good soul, isn't it? Yeah.
And the live Aid
But I do think the way they sort of dance around the family and all that is a bit...
I don't think a working class family would be put in, what do you call them, stockings up over the fire at Christmas time either back then.
Oh, not over the fire. No, they'd be in your...
In that shape.
No.
It's a pillowcase full of
stuff. Yeah, on your bed.
Yeah.
We always had them at the end of the bed.
We had them under the tree.
Yeah, you wouldn't put them over the fire.
No, you
wouldn't
put
them over the fire. Above the fire, ours were plastic.
That's the sort of shit that you
No, we didn't do that.
No, you would have.
Ours at that time.
I bet you do that now at the big spooky mansion in deepest, darkest Englandshire.
In fact, our stockings in 1977, I remember, were these sort of clear plastic ones with pictures of snowflakes on them.
Wow.
So it would have been a real fucking mistake putting them over the fireplace, because there ain't no fucking fire-resistant shit back then, man.
Absolutely not.
Nothing was fire-resistant in 1977, not even water. It's full of petrol.
It was lead in water.
In America, they put fluoride in the water. Over here, they put red diesel.
So apparently you should go and read Elton John's book. It's co-written by Alex Petridis, who, of course, I think I've quoted before, did the most brilliant description ever of Dido.
What did he say?
He said she sings like a mother absent-mindedly humming to herself while trying to find a parking space.
That's funny.
Which I think is genius.
I like it.
Yeah, and he's a very good writer. All those knives as well. We had like one knife in our house back then. Nobody had boxes of knives.
No, you had a bread knife.
Aye.
Mm.
And that was it.
Aye.
Or you had knives like mine then through there.
Was there a cutaway of a witch there?
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because the knives I've got in the kitchen date from the 70s, but they're like wee knives.
Aye, exactly. A wee knife.
For cutting up an apple.
What they call a paring knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had a bread knife. And that was it.
How far would you need in there?
Well, I think we're quite far now.
We're quite far into it, yeah.
And I think it's totally diverged from... Established chronology.
Yeah, and anyway.
Oh no, that's done now. That's done.
Fucking mental now.
Wait till you get to the end.
Yeah.
There's fucking lightning and
Valak.
Fucking nuns cutting about the place.
Oh, I've said the name. Well, should we just talk about that ahead of it happening?
What?
The Valak thing.
Talk about it, Greg. Let's hear it.
Well, just that.
How much of it has happened so far?
Well, we've not got. Basically, what's going to happen is we come to the end of it, because there'll be other things that we talk about.
Yeah.
So we might as well deal with it now.
Oh, this is the bit where, this is the fake bit. Is this the bit where they realise, because he's filmed outside, and she's and the film's smashing it. Right, okay, she's done the knives and they're smashing up herself.
But as we get to it at the end, it all becomes apparently done by this demon nun called Valak. But the way...
Nun such as a demon as Valak!
The way that they, in the end, defeat Valak is by knowing and saying her name to her.
That's right.
And that's when you find out that she's been telling you her name.
Yes.
All the way through it, and it's in the background of
she
all this.
She's like a self-hating demon.
So why would you do that?
Why would you keep doing that? Yeah.
It's just mental.
Alec.
This is my name, enough. Alec.
Yeah.
But don't go using that, because when I turn up later, that would just be Jim.
Yeah, don't go banishing me.
Yeah. It's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's quite good, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this bit's quite nice. Feeling, done, actually.
Feeling cold. Right, let's say, because this is, we're in a wee sort of, we're going into a wee lull in the film where they go, oh, she's made it up, oh, she's not, she's not. Let's talk about other big, famous, scary films. Well, we already have expressed our opinion of one of the 70s best screwball comedies, The Exorcist, which is... starts off as we've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It starts off as a nice psychological drama about a priest, and then turns into, you know, nutty exorcist.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, what do we think of other big ticket horror films?
What did you think?
Like Poltergeist.
Yeah, Poltergeist. Like Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, good film.
Did we?
I didn't find it that
first
scary.
First time I ever watched with you was Poltergeist.
Sure was. Yeah.
How did that come about?
There were two films we were watched that night. What was the other one?
Robocop,
that's right.
So had you been
to... Poltergeist, when we watched it when you were here, was when we realised that it's the dog does all the driving.
That's right, yeah.
E-Buzz. What?
If you watch Poltergeist, whenever the car drives away, you realise E-Buzz the dog actually does all the driving.
Right, I see.
And we also...
It's like, come on.
We took a lot of pleasure out of the fact that the of all the scientists, the black guy is like, well, kiss my ass!
Yeah, it's like they can't help it. All the way through, he's like, it's utterly fantastic.
Yes,
it's extraordinary what we measure. Yes. And then the minute something happens, he's like, well, kiss my ass!
It's outrageous.
There's how many grits?
That's so bad.
Oh, they're coming for
you. They can't help themselves. Hold it back around there.
So
we already think, we've done the Omen trilogy, so we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we've done that, yeah.
Uh-huh. We've talked about how much we hate The Exorcist.
Uh-huh. We've.
What?
What are the other, what about...
What about Blair Witch Project?
I didn't like it.
It's dull.
Yeah, it bored me.
Did you like the hype?
Yeah, the hype was brilliant.
Yeah, the hype was great, wasn't it?
It feels like the first thing that ever happened on the internet.
It does, yeah.
The only thing about the hype, though, was that when I went to see the pictures, you could actually palpably feel the disappointment in the theatre.
Yeah.
As people got, well, you could hear.
But it kind of had to be boring for it to work, though, didn't it? Don't you think?
When it ended, the guy flipped me and said, that was all this shit.
And that, dear reader, was Chris Dymond.
And that,
that's
man,
how I met Chris Dymond.
That was James Wan. Renfield Street.
Okay, Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, it's rubbish. Never liked it.
Not even the Topshop mannequin getting dragged through the window at the end.
That's quite good,
That's fucking great.
That's quite good.
That made the film for me.
And the hand coming out between her thighs is quite good, but I just don't like the film. It's rotten. It's silly.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't make any sense. It just goes, it just hits somebody and goes, oh, and disappears.
Yeah, and actually, it just wake up.
I'm not really that keen on many of Wes Craven. I watched The Hills Have Eyes recently for the first time.
Not Wes Craven?
All right, it wasn't much.
Uh-huh.
I like Scream.
Yeah, Scream's alright, yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least Scream 2 as well, actually. Scream 2 is quite good.
I mean, he seemed like a nice man. Don't get me wrong, he seemed like a nice man. But
Halloween?
That much.
Yeah, Halloween. Like Halloween's great.
Well, John Carpenter is my obsession.
You like John Carpenter?
I more than like him.
Yeah,
what are the other big Friday the 13th?
Quite like the first one, yeah. Kevin Bacon gets a poker through his chest, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the first one.
So that one's all right. No.
And who's the murderer on Friday the 13th?
The mother.
Saturday the 14th.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's Jason.
Yeah,
Gordon,
Jason doesn't turn up until the last fucking frame or something.
There you go.
Yeah. Hmm. It's his mother that's been doing it.
Yeah. Which is sort of forgotten. Because everybody thinks Friday the 13th that's the just.
Yeah.
I mean, I have this 10-hour or something. Video to watch, which is a documentary called Camp Crystal Lake Memories, which is
it's endless.
Yeah.
It's so long.
Yeah.
What's it about?
A documentary
about Friday
the
13th.
Wow.
And in fact, it's so long that when I saw the episodes, I thought, why have they all got all the same episode, get different pictures? So I couldn't believe it was that length. But
wow.
Anyway.
It's so long that Friday the 13th came around again when we were watching it.
Finishes on Saturday the 14th.
That's it.
Okay. What are the other big famous horror films?
Amityville.
Amityville is...
It looks like a TV movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it does, yeah.
It's really, James really Bond. Flat and bland. Mm. Yeah, well, Margot Kidder's very sexy in it.
And it sort of has a nice, creepy atmosphere until the fucking pig appears at the window.
Wow.
That's not me to talk about Rod Steiger. Yeah. Boom! Rod Steiger's fucking extraordinary.
Well, not what? Only is he extraordinary, but his character serves absolutely no purpose.
It's clearly just that they've threw him some money to
because it just finishes with him sitting in his wee balding apple with his wee white stick and the thing going,
that's terrible, man. I'm not ready to watch it. I'm not going back there.
I'm not ready to watch the pawnbroker again.
It's full of flying pigs.
That is outrageous, though, and it's the fucking wee eyes at the window.
When I was in school, that Amityville was held up as the scariest horror film.
Yeah, but that's by people who hadn't seen it.
Yeah. The book's good.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's horseshit, but when you were a kid, the book was much, much...
But I suppose it was... Because it was based on a true story as well.
Those
cut-out
snowflakes
are
very correct.
Yeah, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, no, the Amityville...
The trail on sofa.
Yeah. The Amityville film itself... is the sort of thing at school everybody said was dead scary that they hadn't seen.
Aye, absolutely.
Yes.
I remember when it was the first one that was on the telly.
Yeah.
The trailer for it.
Yeah.
That they always showed on Saturday night on ITV. It was just the thing with the flies. Mm-hmm. And I think they deliberately picked that because they knew everybody at home then would be going, well, that's terrible, look at all the flies.
How accurate is this train, do you think?
Not accurate at all. No.
British Rail logo there?
Is the one in Dunkirk.
That weird train in Dunkirk. Yeah. Because I think that, for a start, should be a compartment train.
It's an American train.
Look at the size of it.
And look at the lighting. It's too wide a bore for a British train.
It should be compartments. It certainly would not
That's
have
right,
that upholstery.
Yeah, it should be compartments.
It wouldn't be compartments in the 70s.
I would. I got a fucking train down to London in the early 80s and it was a compartment train.
But generally speaking, they weren't by then.
Well, not generally speaking, but there were compartment trains. But what I don't understand as well is where they're going.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because why are they...
Getting
on train.
Because
I'm not convinced you could have got a train to Heathrow in 77.
Yeah.
No, I don't think the Heathrow Express existed then.
No.
That was just designed to take money from people.
Yeah. That's a totally contemporary train. It's nice to look at the wee British Rail sign.
Yeah, but why would you write it that direction?
Yeah.
Where is it written anyway?
It looks like it's on the glass. So why would it be in that direction?
They're back,
Very strange.
What is going on here with the two tape recorders? I can't remember.
That's an extraordinary raincoat he's wearing, isn't it? It's clearly just right at the back.
So what's happening here? Help me.
Oh, this is right. So they've got two different recordings. And they've noticed that if you play them next to each other, that it's you can actually hear what the guy's saying. Mm. And he's actually saying that the old boy that's been haunted has been held prisoner in the house.
Yes.
He wants to go in there with my help, the guy.
Yeah.
And he's been held in by Valak.
That's
it. Well, why Valak's fixated on the fucking house isn't... Is it ever explained?
I don't think so.
I think it's probably the chair she's after.
Because it's kind of suggested here. I like a chair that smells of bams. Because it's kind of suggested that she's brought them there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before.
There's actually about another half hour of this to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are the other big famous horror films?
Sorry about that.
I don't accept your apology.
Listen, the stuff that you've done on this tape in the past, you've got some fucking cheek.
Stuff I've done on that chair, mate.
It's been a bum.
So I don't mean that.
Oh. Oh, no.
Okay.
I feel like it's kind of offensive to make this whole thing about them. When it's based on
it's offensive.
Yeah.
Why is it offensive?
To poor Janet.
Because, you know, this is Janet's story.
Bollocks, anyway.
Yeah. But it's her bollocks story, not their bollocks story.
Yeah, but, you know, if you entered into the world of bollocks,
then bollocks. Really then it's all bollocks. Isn't it?
Run with the bollocks. Yeah. If you run with the bollocks, you're going to have your ass tickled
for the bollocks.
That's Cicero said.
Mm. If you flee with the bollocks, you get shot with the bollocks.
You get booted in the bollocks. right, other big famous horror films. Let me think.
We're talking about big Hollywood ones here, aren't we, really?
No, just famous big. Because Friday the 13th's not a big Hollywood film. Could be anything. Oh, so what about things like the big like Hammer ones, famous Hammer ones.
Yeah, love my Hammer. Probably love Amicus more. Of course, we've discussed that in previous commentaries. Mm-hmm. Passing. Mm-hmm. What's happening with that film? It's like a big wooden thing in it now.
What?
What's the big wooden thing?
Where?
Up against the wall there. Yeah.
Oh.
Where did that?
Oh, the yeah.
Is it like a press or something?
Yeah, it's like a big sort of. I don't know actually. What would you keep in it?
I'm not entirely sure that room is consistent from one scene to the other.
No, it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah,
sure.
I think it might be.
Oh, that's shut now.
Yeah, she's been locked out.
It's a nice front door, though.
Yeah, it's a lovely front door.
Racing back, given the fact that it's a Ford at the time.
Ford Cortina.
It's been about 38 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Vinyl
seats.
No seatbelts.
No seatbelts and no
headrests. No headrests. No.
But they often take headrests out in films, don't they, so they can film it easier.
Probably wouldn't have had any headrests, actually.
No, but I mean, in later films, he's always having
used to
fascinate me, there was never any headrests in the bill.
Oh, yeah. When I was using, just for shits and gigs, some looking up archive of old car adverts, there were some car adverts in the late 70s that had headrests as an added extra.
Brilliant.
Wow. Now this is the bit where
from death as an added extra.
This is the bit where they've worked out in the name of the demon.
And it can be very nasty.
And inhuman spirit powerful enough to get your snatch.
So it's quite a stretch for them to work that out, isn't it?
Interesting.
If you know its name.
Isn't Bob Cryer in Dunkirk as well?
Yes, Sergeant Bob Cryer.
All trains all lead to roads Dunkirk. Lead to Dunkirk. They just don't happen to be trains from that period. Do you know the thing we're talking about with this train in Dunkirk?
I've heard you refer to it, it's anachronistic.
It's so anachronistic that when it appears, I thought, oh look, we've skipped forward. Uh-huh. I thought we'd skip forward till, like,
he was grown up.
They'd all grown up or something in the 80s or something. Yeah. So
apart from anything else, the seating is so obviously modern, kind of nylon, kind of fabric-y seating that wasn't made in the 1940s, you know.
It's very strange.
It's not even a material that could have been made in the
1940s. It looks like a sort of, you know, like, see when you get the train down to London and you go through, like, Crewe, and there's some sort of railway museum, there's old rolling stocks in this. Looks like one of them.
Or one of the ones you get in from Berkhamsted. It's like one of them.
It's fucking still running, barely.
Get in the car.
So that anachronistic train, is this a thing that other people talk about?
Yeah.
Is there a theory?
There's a lot of it. No. He's oddly sort of slapdash with some of that in Dunkirk. Because a lot of the buildings look quite modern in Dunkirk as well. Mm-hmm. I think this is anathema for CGI, but things that he could take out. Mm.
Well, the other very glaring thing about Dunkirk, which is a film I love, is... because it's such a good film, I just don't understand, you know, I'm learning something I didn't know. As it turns out, he was wrong. Just, where's all the fucking soldiers?
Yeah. The beach is empty.
There's 380,000 soldiers on this beach. Well, have they just all gone for a cup of tea? Because there's only about 300 soldiers there.
Yeah.
Very strange. And I, like you said, I wonder if it is dislike for CGI means like, oh well, I'll just make it seem like the rest of them are up the other end or something.
Yeah, it's very odd. It does detract though.
That's a good film.
It's a wonderful film. It's incredible.
But the sequence when the boat gets hit goes down is
amazing. Oh. Did I show those great photographs of him on set?
Yeah, when he's out in the water. Yeah. So,
this is him, like, telling her that she loves her.
Yeah.
But this seems like, you know when you've, like, in the past, when you were young and that, like, your girlfriend's going to be sick in the lobby.
Yeah.
And you're outside saying, are you all right?
Yeah, right.
Or a boyfriend, or QI,
whatever.
GBT, yeah,
whatever.
GBH,
QWERTY,
whatever, all good. Everyone's happy, everyone's welcome. Whatever it is, or she, he, they, whatever, the other side of the door, could be here all night.
Bobby or not, here I come.
Bobby or not, here I come. Is that the Fugees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going up, you.
I never liked the Fugees.
The Fuggies?
One time, one time.
One time.
Two time, two time. I like...
Three time, three time?
Three time, three time. I like, what's his name? The man from the Fugees song, Gone to November, though. Wycliffe Jean.
Oh, yeah.
Have I told the story of when they played that song on This Morning with Richard Madeley?
Uh-huh.
And he said...
and what was his comment?
He went, oh, that's such a lovely song. Why have they got that ruddy man counting in it?
Did you go through a Richard Madeley obsession? I did. For
I love Richard. Oh, yeah, still love Richard Madeley.
He's amazing.
He's the man. He's not even somebody I love to hate.
Uh-huh.
He's somebody that I can't believe exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love him. Did you?
I can't believe he's a thing.
Yeah.
Like Judy Finnegan. Yeah. That woman is a second mother to me.
She is. Quite nice.
Did you see him on The Circle? He was fucking
good. You can tell me because you know this shit. What is The Circle? I don't know.
It's a reality show on Channel 4. Where the conceit is they never meet each other, they just talk through social media. And so the idea is you can catfish each other.
Oh,
and
right.
So for the most recent series,
you pretend
to be someone who you're not. So for the most recent series, they put
people
Richard
use
Madeley.
Pictures of me for catfishing. Always.
That's it. Okay. They put Richard Madeley and he had to pretend to be a young woman. But over the course of his interactions, he had quite a touching encounter with a woman who'd been quite ill. And so when he left, they let him go and actually meet her. And he was lovely. Because he didn't overplay it. So he didn't sort of try and turn it into a big emotional scene. But he did say, I just wanted you to know that when I was talking to you about that, although I was pretending to be someone I wasn't, that was all genuine. And he didn't try and hug her too much. And then they sat there and he talked about who they thought everybody else was.
He is an extraordinary character.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
I love Richard Madeley.
He's a man with no filter and no self-knowledge, no self-awareness, no self-censorship.
No.
Yeah. There's nothing intrinsically bad. He's not like a Piers Morgan or anything like that.
I think he has some pretty crappy quasi right-wing views, but in the way that your grandpa does, unlike Piers Morgan, who's a utter cunt,
Of the highest order.
But you know, I think
that offends me,
yeah.
And I'm not one of these people that, you know, like, oh, I'm so offended, but I literally, and I mean literally, I'm offended that he is a thing.
Yeah, he's awful
because there is no basis for it.
No.
Yeah.
No need for it.
He doesn't have
He adds
skill.
Nothing
yeah.
to
and
anything.
Career should have ended in ignominy after he
for being
the mirror for
lying.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, quite right.
Yeah.
And it disgusts me that he's actually being paid at all for anything.
Uh-huh.
It would disgust me if he was being paid to clean the streets.
Susanna Reid's hot as fuck, though.
That's probably true.
But Richard Madeley, people sort of took the piss out of him because he stopped an interview, didn't he, with a politician halfway through because he just wasn't getting any answers.
Yeah, I thought that was a good thing to
like,
do.
That's a good thing to do.
He also,
you shouldn't, like, ridicule,
I remember one
right?
of those top 10 sort of cringy show things.
Uh-huh.
About,
oh, yeah, the allergy thing.
Yeah, and someone was on it said...
I thought it was really
funny.
It's actually
a really,
really
good,
good
impression
good
because he looks like...
Yeah, he does, yeah.
There was someone... I think it was the same thing that someone also made the point about the Bee Gees and Clive Anderson.
So
the person who came off worse for that was Clive Anderson.
Mm, yeah.
He came across as a dick.
Yeah,
and when they walked off, he just stood there looking like a plum because
he
didn't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do.
And it's the same with that Ali G. He was really good at it.
I really used to fuck off me and the... Because me and Ketrin, you know, in the house...
Uh-huh.
The Millers, we were kind of obsessed with Richard Madeley.
Yeah.
And we started to get really angry when he was putting all these lists of the most embarrassing things.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I get the impression he probably really enjoys his life as well.
Yeah, I think
don't
so.
You think? He just does what he wants.
Yeah, enjoys a
doesn't
trip to the
really,
supermarket.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, just looking after Judy. He also
She takes some looking after.
Aren't they doing this morning again?
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
There was also that great.
I fucking hate Philip Schofield.
Do you? My son really likes Philip Schofield.
Why do you hate Philip Schofield?
Well, I tell you particularly why. First of all, I think under Philip Schofield's reign, this morning has just turned into the Daily Mail on the telly. But there was a particular incident.
To be fair, they don't employ any paedophiles anymore. So.
Has made me... That's a bonus. Has made me... I've been angry about it continuously ever since. Now, I don't have any great truck for Gordon Brown, who is, as we all know, history's greatest monster. but on the campaign trail in 2015... Mm-hmm. No. 2010.
2010 when it was horribly wrong.
So in the run up to the 2010 election, and he hadn't been duffed yet. Had been duffed up yet.
I hate your joke, I like it.
And he's on this morning, and he's clearly been told, Brown, just be nice. Don't go on the attack. Don't be defensive. You know, don't be offensive or defensive.
Basically, just be nice.
Yeah, just be nice. Was a mistake, because he should just, what he should have done is just defended his record and argued and fought, because he can't be nice, because he's not nice. So he's on the thing, and the thing that bothered me was, they were talking about, at the time, if you can remember this far back to the days when this is the sort of thing that used to happen in politics, the argument was about the top rate of tax back up to 45 pence, which was Labour Party policy. And Brown said, well, this is what we want to do. And Philip Schofield said, well, why do you want to, so why would you do that? You know, it's this, that, whatever. Obviously, going to affect him.
Yeah.
And he, and Brown was doing that terrible, mirthless smile going, well, it's because of us, not all. And so when he finished speaking, if Schofield was moving on to the next question, as a throwaway remark, he said, all right, so you want to penalise ambition. So anyway, what we'll do is we'll move on. And I went, oh, fuck you, you dick.
Yeah.
Just fuck off.
Yeah.
So I hate Philip Schofield.
There we are.
One of my happiest memories, however...
It should bite me!
One of my happiest memories, however, of this morning also involves Gordon Brown, because he'd been interviewed by the two of them, and it was at the height of his, you know, with all the bullshit about how clever he was, the cleverest man in the world and whatnot. And when it got to the end
he's
of
not
it,
even the cleverest man in Dumfries.
No. Why would he be in Dumfries?
I'm just saying.
All right, okay.
If he was in Dumfries.
Whenever he's in Dumfries, yeah, he's not even the cleverest man in Dumfries.
When he got to the
cleverest
end,
man in Glenrothes, though.
When they got to the end. That. He doesn't leave either of them. When it got to the end of it.
Go on.
Just as it finished, he'd think about much Gordon Brown, wonderful, and there was a sort of pause. And he went to actually sip his tea. And Richard said, how tall are you? And he said, I'm 6 feet. All right, I'm 6 feet two. Anyway. Brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah.
And Judy was in the back.
There we go. The name gives me dominion, and I know your name. Rah. How do you know that? Because I put
it on the wall. How could you possibly know my name?
Oh, the defiler, the profane, the Marquess of Snakes.
The Marquess of Snakes. The Marquess of Snakes.
What a lot of shit.
Condemn you back to hell. If you're a demon, wouldn't you like being in hell?
You know that the Marquess of Snakes, I think that's like that scene in the first Blackadder series where he's given all the shit titles. I didn't even hold on to Peebles.
Oh, because he's meant to die, isn't he?
Falling out the window. Quite bad.
The great thing about that is that he'd have been up 6 foot two in the back. Judy would just be going, cheers.
Do you remember when Judy was off sick for quite a while on this morning?
Yeah.
And he did it himself. Yeah. And he had like a house band, Richard. Remember this? He brought in a house band.
Why not? Fucking great.
As in house music.
No, that would have been better.
He's one of the great men.
He's a great man. I love him.
But he's not, I wouldn't even say that.
I love Richard Madeley.
I don't even know if I like him.
He's like the dude, you just want him out there.
I just like the fact that he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking the rest of us sinners.
He's not like... you know what I do like as well? That even though I think he's probably quite a sort of right-wingy type of sort of person, which is people are allowed to be. But I think if he was faced with somebody who was pissing him off, who was right-wing, he'd probably rip them as well.
I'm not sure he is that right-wing.
No, I don't know. He just comes across like that. But I'm sure he probably... I don't think he really... I don't think he relates to real life in that way.
No.
I don't think in the dimension that he protrudes from.
Whatever spectrum that everybody else is on, he's not on it.
No, he's got his own rules. Yeah. He plays by his own rules.
He does.
It's his own band.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, his house band.
Richard Madeley has his own band.
Richard and the Madeleys. You know, the other thing that I like about him in This Morning, I always get the impression that he didn't like Susan Brooks, the cook.
Yes.
And that's totally because I fucking hated Susan Brooks. Well, she's just a smart ass mimsy cow.
She the one with the black hair?
No, she had sort of curly red big glasses. And she looked quite thin, but she had a massive ass. And she always cooked things that you wouldn't want to cook.
You like Denise, though, didn't you?
Oh, Denise, my love. Oh, my love. Oh, you know I feel you, my love.
You know who she's the inspiration for? Was Denise the
Agony Aunt? Yeah.
She's the inspiration for Bernice the Vicar.
Yeah, that's right. But the other thing is, Susan Brooks did this terrible thing once where Patrick Stewart was on.
She was awful.
Patrick Stewart was on. And so this is, post... Oh, sorry, Valak's dead. Post TNG, obviously, but pre other things. He's a sort of middle period. X-Men? I think it might have been pre X-Men, actually, because this is mid-90s. So anyway, which is why he was on This Morning. So he's on This Morning, he's cutting about in the kitchen. And he gets introduced, and Judy says, go on over there and make Cody bring something to Sam's, and we'll come back to you. And
Hans Gruber has gone to become one of the most documented cases in paranormal.
Yeah, well, we're doing it now.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's standing there, and that Susan Brooks said, "Oh, it's really good that you're on because I'm from Yorkshire, and you're from Yorkshire as well, aren't you?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I live in a little village in Yorkshire, but I kind of don't like to say where it is because you get inundated with." Fans and things like that, and she went, "Yeah, that's right, because you live just over the hill from me in Malden." and he actually went, "Oh," and immediately probably thought, "Well, I've got to move now."
Yeah,
that's that.
We just learned that Susan, the mum, died in the same spot where Ray had died 40 years or Billy died.
I bet that's
probably not true.
Yeah, that's
probably England.
Oh, so have they brought back a? Do they bring back a trophy then from all the?
Yes, yeah, this is the museum.
Is it the Zoetrope?
This is why you would keep all this stuff.
Yeah,
because you would keep it in a room in your house.
Is Annabelle behind them? See,
this is in reality.
So who is Annabelle? Is it that puppet thing?
Puppet,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
right.
Just I told
you about that. Just yeah. But is that right?
Is that one?
I just said it's the one
behind them. Dolls are behind them.
Yeah, there we go.
In reality, because there is an Annabelle doll, but it's actually a sort of. Rag Dolly Anna looking fuck.
They're very wet, aren't people. They, the Warrens in this film? Don't you think? Very wet. They're not very... kind of quite dull and wet characters. Yeah.
Oh, they're wet.
They're wet characters, yeah.
I don't know if you can tell from here. Got that fire on again, this won't be a hit for long.
Put it this way, if I was standing down somewhere, I'd be fucking wet.
So would he.
Not many decorations on that tree, just lights. It's a bit shit.
Like hellfire behind them, look at that. Who photocopied all those books?
There's a wee nun in the back going,
help me, I don't need Sister Immaculate Children.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Alright, no, but this is great because you get the credit thing now. And you get to see what they actually look like.
Yes, that's right. Because
they actually look like John Belushi in drag.
Yeah.
Because they have the actual tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is quite. I like this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's good.
A lot of it's a lot better than the.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. And the actual photos.
The actual family.
Yeah, look very different.
The Hodgsons, was that the name?
Hodgsons. Yeah.
There they are.
The Warrens. Wow.
Boom.
Yeah. The street.
There's a street.
Yeah. But they fake some of these photos at the end as well, don't they? Which is weird.
Really?
Yeah, because this is meant to be documentary evidence.
Well, that's not the street.
This is meant to be the real stuff, and then some of it isn't.
Executive producer Steve Mnuchin, that's the name's just
based on characters created by, I mean, come on now. Come on.
Look, does it let you down, Jared?
Yeah, I'm upset by this. Look, because yeah, that's from because the film.
That's not
that's from the film.
Yeah, that's from the film.
That's from the film.
Yeah, I think by this time, these are the least egregious.
It's fucking egregious. Look at it.
Wow, look.
Yeah. Jack, you realise that there have been greater lies fibbed before now.
That's see, well that's done, isn't it?
That's what I mean.
Very
the
well
post,
done.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah, Simon Bavani's.
Yeah, she was a bit hotter than.
Yeah, she looks a bit like. What do you call it?
Lou Reed.
No, the woman that Lawrence Olivier goes to see in Boys from Brazil. Oh, I may be walking out of here and hunted.
Oh, we saw the little puppet there, didn't
you
we?
You are going.
Did you see the flash frames of the puppet?
Yes.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's your
we
actual.
We did get, for critique, we did get some of the film in.
Yeah, we talked about some of it.
Oh, well, we're back in the Amityville
house
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
James Wan and I'm on too.
Just a weird film.
The Fudding 2.
Yeah, the Fudding 2. Fud and Fud again.
So, that'll be your actual Halloween
yeah.
then.
I don't actually mind leaving this video at your house if you like.
Are you too scared to take it back?
You can take it back for you. I have access to it.
Are there DVD extras on this one then?
I don't know. Mm. It came through the post like on Monday. Because
uh-huh.
I take the financial hit for this.
That was very good of you.
Yeah, Chris takes the millions of revenue that come in from it.
Yeah.
But I get stuck with just somebody to do the outlay.
Yeah, spend more on your teammate. I'd have a lot of stuntmen in that.
Yeah.
Chris. No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
It's very nice, though. It was a steak pie.
Yeah.
So what
there
did,
was
what...
some nice potatoes, and there was a nice carrot and turnip
mash. Carrot,
lovely.
Carrot
and
mash.
Yeah,
so what do you think
nice.
Of this
nice
film, Craig movie. Williams? Haven't watched it
It's
again.
A lot of old shit, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah,
it's
a bit long, isn't it? But,
it's a bit long.
Yeah,
it could do without the fucking musical interlude.
What it actually lacks is kind of dread.
Yeah,
and
there's no dread in it. You're quite
it's
right.
Just got jump scares.
It's sort of one thing after another, isn't
it's
it?
Not
it's
not
one thing
fucking
from.
Thing after another, mate.
Yeah.
As the boy says about history and the history boys.
Yeah.
After he said a finger up his bum.
Yeah.
But it lacks dread and atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something, you know, it's kind of impossible to hate, really. It's like
yeah.
a big poppy, isn't
Who's
it?
Who's it for?
Everybody.
Do you think? Because it's not really for horror fans,
it's
I
for,
think,
no.
is it?
It's for all the children of the world.
It's for those people that come into the cinema after you got settled down.
Mm.
And the minute they walk in, you go,
fuck.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
There is a real problem at the moment
yeah.
with this horror audiences in cinemas.
They're cunts.
Yeah, because the sort of people that go to horror films now tend to be cunts.
Yes.
Because they're in a silly mood.
We had a terrible
yeah.
experience
yeah.
recently.
Yeah.
I think it was the Annabelle film, actually. The good lady wife, the son and I went to see it and the audience were just awful. Really, really bad. So we decided not to do it. We went and saw Joker last week. We waited until the Wednesday after it opened and saw it midweek at the Everyman.
Oh, we had quite a good audience for Joker. I have to say,
were you at the opening night of it?
Friday night. Mm. And it was a big audience. But there was the odd one, but a lot of averages, there's going to be a couple.
Yeah, probably knocked the fight out of them in the first 20 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. The thing is, I kind of put up with the odd incident.
Uh-huh.
It's when people like persist and you realise that they actually, that's just what they've decided to do.
Yeah.
Sit and be on their phone. And
yeah.
It's people who sit and actually sit and message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When there's a fucking film on.
Yeah.
I just lean over and tell them to close the phone.
Yeah, I had to ask a girl if he sat next to me. I went to some Hustlers on Sunday with Moy.
Yeah.
And a girl sat next to me and she started looking at her phone. That was a weird... And I said to her, can you turn it off, please? And she said, oh, sorry, put it away.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I mean,
if they
you
say
put
it
away,
you
yeah.
say it,
but
yeah.
they go, why, what's wrong with you?
It's like, I'm just going to get the staff in.
That was a weird film to watch with an audience because I think the audience went to see it. This is the one with J-Lo's bum.
Yeah.
I think it was a very female audience. They were laughing at kind of the odd moments, and I think they thought they were seeing a film that was about, you know, sisters doing it for themselves,
yeah.
which is partly how it's sold.
That's how it's sold, but it's not really
it,
like
actually,
that.
Actually, it's
it?
Quite a grim story. It's
yeah.
quite a tough story, you know,
yeah.
and it's... although J-Lo's bum features very heavily in it, it's...
Well, it features quite heavily in everything.
It does, but as a film, it wasn't. It's more really akin to the sort of arc of Goodfellas sort of thing. You know, it doesn't end well for them. You know?
But they have totally sold it as like, we're going to go out and take all their money. We can't take the.
What's that?
What the hell is that?
That's an old school
government
film.
Government of India, it says.
It's the Government of India.
Wow, for the Conjuring 2. Wow.
Did you see that as well?
Oh. Yeah.
Did you see that as well?
Was that a haunted Indian?
Did you not see the wee man pointing at it?
No! Say what?
Say what?
Actually, I do laugh at that. I'm at the sort of the cinema at the moment where the girl's trying to sneak out.
Yeah.
And the big fat old dad turns around and she's like inappropriately dressed.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I think he says, OMG, I can't even say, Dad, those shoes are on point! it does make me laugh every time.
Oh, anyway, that's that. That's it. The Conjuring 2. Yeah. Happy Halloween if you're into that shit.
My love.
Okay, now we can go on with Christmas. Bye!
Bye! Bye.